WTFR. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, just like every edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, is going to be very naughty. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed will contain bad language, condescension, mock value. Disclaimer. If you are a little pussy bitch, you may not want to listen to this show. Disclaimer over and out. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company 3's Allowed. See the idiot walk, see the idiot talk. We're seeing that every day of our lives at the present time. You just have to walk into a store or a supermarket and you're seeing the idiot walk and the idiot talk. Got their masks on. You can't even see them talk, in fact. Jesus Christ, we should make a mockery of this song and say you can't see the idiot talk because they've got a fucking mask on. Idiots fucking everywhere. Idiots absolutely fucking everywhere. This is why I chose this song. I just typed in the idiot song and that came up. It's strange, you can type anything into YouTube and you'll find something. Who had the brain where it started to sink in? It was you. Two's Company 3's Allowed, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio. And of course, 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York, 107.9 rather, FM in the Australian Alpines. Thank you to Jimmy X for 1650 AM. And we've of course got the good Maleficus Sentius with us this evening, this afternoon, this morning, wherever it may be that you are. Maleficus, how are you, sir?
Hello, old boy. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you perfect.
Great. You're wrong, by the way. I've just typed into YouTube Sean's a Gaylord song, and it hasn't come up.
What? I can't believe it. Surely there would be one of my haters out there that would call me a gaylord. Jeez.
I'll work on it.
I'm lacking. I'm slackening off. Jeez. Yeah, no, Maleficus, a lot to talk about. I've got some audio clips and everything like that. I've got some articles. I'm sure you've got some articles and everything going on as well.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, no, I'm jacked up on the coffee, as usual. I wasn't expecting necessarily Giuseppe to join us, but I was expecting Scorpio to join us, but something's obviously taken his attention, which happens in life. It's just the way things are. So I jacked up on coffee as quickly as I possibly could to make sure that I'll hopefully, that's a bit of a contradiction, but hopefully stay awake for the show. There's been a lot going on. You know, the idiots walk, the idiots talk. I thought that was appropriate.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I liked the sound. I liked the lyrics, you know, and it rings through my head, you know, because I actually found this song a few days ago. So when I'm walking through the supermarket, all I can think is when I'm looking at these people with masks, I'm going like, the idiots walk, the idiots talk. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you who it was because I like the little riff in it, the little crescendoing riff. I thought that's quite good, quite catchy.
They're called the Hives. They're called the Hives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never heard of them before. That was the first time I'd heard of them. I don't know whether they're just a small-time pub group or whether they're actually somebody that is big. But I just really enjoyed that slight... See, I'm not huge into punk rock, but when there's a slight bit of punk to it, I don't mind it. So when I heard them saying, you know, the idiot walk, the idiots talk sort of thing, I thought, yeah, that's got to come onto the show because the idiots are walking and talking. What can we say?
Well, doubly so, actually, over here, because we've hit Freedom Day over here. That would obviously entail that the fact that they've admitted that we haven't had any freedoms for the last fucking 16 months. But we had Freedom Day. It was actually on my mum's birthday, hey?
Yeah? Oh, there we go.
How many people can say that?
You know? Yeah.
It's your birthday. It's Freedom Day on your birthday.
There we go. Yeah. You can actually go out and have a barbecue in the public square.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But you can now go into a shop without wearing a mask. You can wear a mask if you feel you should. And do you know how many fucking idiots there are wandering around wearing masks? Fucking loads of them. I couldn't believe it. You don't have to, you know, you just want to walk up to these people and go, you don't have to wear them anymore. But yeah, it's just...
I know.
There's idiots everywhere, mate.
There are douchebags. I mean, we're in lockdown, so everybody's being told that they have to wear them. So, of course, you've got all your cowards, all your common cowards, like I was talking about recently. You know, all of those people that they're big, tough men in the pub. Oh, yeah, give me a beer. They drink their swill and they it was all out bricklaying all day. And I'll never wear those masks again. And then... You know, all of a sudden someone sneezes in Melbourne and they've got their masks on. You see them in the supermarket. It's just a fucking crazy. I'm like, you can't be for real. You know, I look at them and I just shake my head as I'm walking past. And they just put their head to the ground like the biggest of men, Maleficus. I'm talking the biggest and beefiest of guys that could probably kick my ass if they knew how to fight. I mean, these are hitters, not fighters. So I'd probably do some damage. But the thing is... Even if let's pretend they were fighters, they just put their heads to the ground as if like, oh, I was just telling Sean yesterday that I wouldn't fucking wear a mask, but here I am wearing a mask. They just don't know where to look. Oh.
No, I know, mate. I know. Well, look, I mean, since all this, this Freedom Day has arrived over here. Freedom Day. What the hell does that mean? Like I say, that means they have to admit that they've stripped us of all our freedoms. Eh?
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, Wim Miller put up a really good meme just as I came into the chat room this evening. Put up a really good meme, and it's a box. It's an upside down box at an angle, being propped up by a stick with a string. That goes off the side of the screen. It goes off the side of the picture, and there's a guy stood there. Looking and underneath the box is a thing labeled Freedom Passport.
Oh, God.
And he's like scratching his head, oh, do I take this or not, you know?
So
since all that's happened, we've had the Daily Fail online has posted an article saying, your summer cold is worse than ever. Immune systems have missed their daily workout of being exposed to germs after a year of masking and social distancing.
I'm surprised that the Daily Fail came out with that. I really am.
Listen, this is why I brought it up. I'm not surprised at all, because this would imply that your mask actually protects you from
good point.
So the only thing that is stopping people from getting, you know, having their daily immune system workout is the fact that people are covering themselves in like 78% alcohol rubs, and they're all paranoid about touching things, and they're not going out unless they, you know, they have to, and when they do, they walk out in the road, you know, to avoid people on the pavement, but, you know, not avoid oncoming cars and things like that. So your summer cold is worse than ever because immune systems have missed their daily workout of being exposed to germs after a year of mask wearing and social distancing. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Essentially, this is a propping up the mask narrative, you know. And as we know, masks are completely flipping useless, you know.
It's the two extremes, really, isn't it, Maleficus? Like, one of the things that I've noticed is that when the media says, you've got to wear masks, everybody goes to the extreme. They don't just wear masks, but they do the social distancing thing. It's like, and they sort of look at you as if, like, you're very close to me. Please stand away. But then all of a sudden the media says, you don't need any of it anymore. And then everybody goes back to, like, near on sticking their dick in your ass when you're in the checkout counter. You know, they back off. Sort of thing. It's like the two extremes. It's like winter and summer.
Well, I've had loads of it. Like me, because all the time throughout lockdown, I haven't worn a mask. Through all the restrictions, I've not worn a mask. And you have people scowling at you in the supermarket aisle because you're not wearing a mask. And then they push past you to get to someone. It's like, what the fuck? You know? Going with the mask thing as well, another Daily Fail thing. Fauci says new recommendations for all American from American Academy of Pediatrics that all children above the age of two to wear masks as it's a reasonable thing to do.
Oh fuck!
You know, yeah. So you are an automaton. You're not a human being anymore. As long as you're over the age of two, you've got to wear a mask. That's what they're suggesting.
You've always been a number. And now more than ever before, you're a bigger number. That's all. You know, you're a barcode. You know, that whole 1984 barcode on the back of your fucking head. That's what you are. That's what you've always been, but that's what you are more than ever before, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let them treat you that way. Just give them the two middle fingers in the air. You know, there's been a couple of times, and I hope my daughter doesn't hear this because she does listen to the show sometimes, but what happens has been a couple of times where she will, someone's been scowling at her for not wearing a mask because we don't wear masks. And they've been scowling at her and she says, Dad, I'm just going to go to the chocolate section and get some chocolate. And I'm like, yep, no worries. So then I walk around the corner and I look at her and look at these people and go, you so much, like, I'm talking fucking, what's his name? The big fella. Yeah, I'll think of it. Anyway, what happens is I say, you so much as scowl at my daughter again, and I will beat the fuck out of you. Do you understand? And they look at me in horror. You know,
here's a quarter. Go downtown and have a rat and all that thing
that's
off your face.
That's the one, yep. So
the
what,
mask, that is.
No, that's not the mask. That's the big fella.
No, I know. I'm telling you, here's a quarter. Go and have a rat and all the mask off your face.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And
talking about John Candy.
John Candy. Thank you. That's right. The good John Candy. Bless his soul. He's gone, unfortunately. He was a good actor. But what happens is, I've had to walk around the corner and go into a different aisle and track them down into a couple of aisles so Beth can't hear me. and I walk up and say, you even so much as scowl at my daughter again, and I will take you out the back, and I will beat the fucking shit out of you. Are we understood? And these people look at me and go, oh no, we don't want any trouble. Yeah, well, you wanted trouble a fucking second ago, didn't you? When you were shaking your head at her and fucking frowning at her. You want fucking trouble? You fucking get it. And then they walk off, of course. See, you know, do what you want to me. Well, you still probably get trouble, but but when you're scowling at my daughter, you know what? You might find me down in a dark alley one night, plain and simply. Don't mess with people's kids. You know, we haven't caught a flu. I've clearly got no sniffles. I've got no cough going on or anything like that. You know, these people that wearing masks, you see them in the store going, and you're going, well, who's the fucking sick one here? Who's the fucking sick one? You're wearing a mask. You're coughing your guts up. And yeah. I haven't worn a mask at all, and yet you're the sick one. Like, fuck off already. Stick that shit up your fucking ass.
Well, that's another reason why your summer cold is probably worse than ever, is because you've been wearing a Petri dish on your face for the last 16 months, eh?
Yeah.
You know? Also, going back to that, you know, there's another article here saying nightmares about being in crowded places are more common in lockdown. And then it says afterwards, a small study finds.
Right. Yeah. Like, I love it how, Mel, you actually bring up a really good fucking point, which is also this, experts say, and then you write to the firm and say, please, send me the name of the experts. You don't get a reply back. Because
was
there are no...
Was it on yours or Andy's show last week or the week before that we found out that one of the so-called experts that they were talking about, to do with the easing of lockdown restrictions over here, he was saying, oh no, you should be careful about this and this, that and the other. Well, I looked up exactly who he was, and he was an expert in psychological stuff. He had nothing to do with virology.
That's the same thing with when I was speaking to the rocket scientist over here. God, now I can't bring up names. Let me bring up his name. I'll bring it up after the next break, because otherwise I'm going to have to be sitting there clicking in people's ear. The rocket scientist over here, what happens is he spoke about how most of these global warming so-called experts are fat cats and bureaucrats that bear false certificates. And I looked into a lot of these so-called experts. Not one of them had a fucking right to be talking about scientists, because not one of them were scientists. Not a one. Not a single one out of the probably 100, maybe 80 people were scientists, including Al Gore. Al Gore was running for presidency over there in the United States. He was a politician. He wasn't a scientist. So what the fuck was he doing writing books and talking and doing speeches about global warming when he's not a fucking scientist? And these...
Well, exactly that.
Yeah. And these scientists were actually coming out of the woodwork and saying, what the fuck is he doing? Why is he saying the shit and writing the shit that he's saying? Because he's wrong. He's fucking wrong. You know, and it was just ignored because people watch the mainstream media and say, well, Al Gore said so, so it must be right. Well, why is it right? Well, because Al Gore's a scientist. No, he's not. He was a politician running for presidency in the United States and had no fucking business in trying to be a scientist. No fucking business. Unbelievable. People are so fucking gullible, Maleficus. They really are.
I know. Well, look, you look at SAGE over here, which is the government body that advises the government on Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies. So this is an unelected body that are essentially telling the government what shots to call. I've got an interesting link, which is to do with the register of participants and the interests, the external interests that they have. I'll put the post actually up in the chat room, so anyone who's at tcta.chatandgo.com can go and have a look at it. But very interesting. You look at the list of participants who are advising the government body, and you look at the other interests that they have. you know, what outside external interests they have, you know, who they're funded by, who's giving them grants, who's, you know, and they have to have transparency, supposedly they have to have transparency on this. I mean, the transparency is the fact that it's hidden away somewhere on the government website, and I was looking for something completely different and stumbled across it. Let me just put that up a sec. I think the lads and lasses in the chat room will find this quite interesting. There's some really interesting names and their connections in there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So these are the supposed experts people that are advising the government. You know, it's crazy. So I don't know whether, like I said, I don't know whether it was on your show or Andy's show last week or the week before that, you know, I found out that one of these experts was actually, he worked for, I think, like a university up in Wales, somewhere like that, and he was in charge of, like, psychological stuff. So, you know, and sociology, that kind of thing. So he was, you know, he wasn't, nothing to do with virology. So why has he got an interest in advising what the government should do as far as lockdowns are concerned? Well, yeah. That tells you it's a psychological battle as much as anything else.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it was like Anna over here, our health minister. When she was health minister, she professed to understand health, but had not a medical certificate around her at all. She had fat cats, bureaucrats bearing those false certificates, and took the advice from them. So, and when I wrote to her and said, are you aware of what's going into our vaccines, you know, thimerosal, for some people, thimerosal, squalene, you know, formaldehyde that goes into dead bodies, are you aware that this all goes in, you know, aborted fetus cells? Are you even aware of this? And I got just that weak letter. I give her this. She did write back, but that weak letter saying, oh, well, we don't have thimerosal in the, or thiomersal in the vaccines anymore. And I thought, that's all you've got? Really? You write back to me? You even dare to write back to me with such a weak piece of shit fucking letter? You've got to be kidding.
It's a fob off.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is.
That's all it is.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, like this list, I've put the link up in the chat room, but the link I've given, you actually have to click on another link in there. So I'll put the actual thing up there. So, I mean, you can easily get to it. It's right. It's obvious, but I've put the actual link up there now. So you've got people like Chris Whitty, who is, you know, one of these government advisors, and two of his positions that he holds are honorary. So he's an honorary professor of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. That means he's not actually a professor. He's an honorary. It's an honorary position that he's been granted, probably from a backhander from someone else or just jobs for the boys, you know? Some of the other people in there, it beggars belief the connections that they have. For instance, who was one of them? A chap called, because the list is pretty long. In fact, the list is massive. Professor Brooke Rogers, OBE. He's got a list of about, I have to scroll about 3.5, nearly 4 pages for his external connections. You know, that's just phenomenal.
Yeah, by the way, I just have to correct myself. It wasn't Anna, sorry. It was Nicola Roxon. Nicola Roxon. I just looked it up on the Wikipedia. It was actually, she was the Minister for Health and Ageing. And she had no idea about both Maleficus. She was fucking useless. And that's why they got her
minister,
out of it.
How can you minister ageing? I mean, it just fucking happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah, it's not like you can do anything about it. It's, you know, as you said, your brilliant saying is that, you know, ageing and dying is a disease that we're born with.
You know? Oh, of course it is. Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, you got my dad to thank for that. That's what his comes out with some profound things, my dad. Yeah, totally. But yeah, what's she going to do? Bring in a bit of legislation? Well, I'm afraid you can only age 6 months this year.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, you know what? I love my mother, so I forbid her to die. She's going to be immortal for the rest of time. You know, like, what a load of bullshit.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, Nicola Roxon as the correction there. But I thought Anna, because I had, I looked at that, I recently looked at that clip with, where Anna, Anna Bott on, fucking, on the news over there in the UK. It's, what's his name? Fucking that Jew prick. Oh, well, he's a, crypto Jew. Rupert Murdoch. On Rupert Murdoch's Sky News, Anna Bott, and she had her ass torn. When what was his name? Fucking hell. I'm jacked up on coffee. You're just going to have to excuse me. I really am. I'm fucking so jacked up on coffee. It's not funny. I tell you what, it's been working, though, Maleficus, because the last few shows, I might be talking a bit fast, and I've got to slow down a bit, but I might be talking a bit fast, but it's been keeping me awake for the duration of the show and enough to get it up on the website as soon as possible, and then I just go boom and I crash. But George Galloway. George Galloway is the name I'm thinking of.
George Galloway.
I mean, I don't trust him.
Marxist.
Yeah, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. But I will say this: that he was absolutely right when where he tore her new asshole about how the Israelis are raping the Palestinians when it comes to weaponry and crossing the border and everything like that. So it was really good to see that. By the way, I'm going to be playing a clip that we played a while back. I want to revisit some of these clips because we are getting some new audience members, and these are important when it comes to Australia's Lima Declaration, the UK's, even the UK has the Lima Declaration and stuff like that. The Kalergi plan, I won't be playing tonight, but, or today, or wherever you are. But I will be playing a thing about the whole Lima Declaration when it comes to Malcolm Roberts, a politician over here that works for One Nation. Yeah, really great stuff. He does it. He has it. He gets up there in Parliament and he gives a speech about how the Lima Declaration has raped Australia, and a lot of people, Maleficus, don't know about it. So I like to reiterate it once in a while. You know how we like to sort of play clips again.
Yeah. I mean, I to be honest, I only know about it from listening to one of your early shows. Not one of your early shows, but you know.
I know what you mean, yeah.
On the old website, you know. And also it's something that Adrian, who used to call in when we had the call lines, he was quite up on as well, educated me a bit on there. But no, George Galloway, mate, his idea of a perfect holiday would be a fishing trip with none other than Che Guevara.
Right, yeah. You know,
so. But he does know how to rip people a new asshole. It has to be said, and he's very outspoken on a lot of things. Unfortunately, he's a Kalergi man all the way to the hilt.
Yeah,
all the way to the ball sack.
You just had to say that, did you? He really.
I like to get a rise out of you, mate.
All the way to the ball sack. He really is, though, you're right. He, God, Maleficus. He really is, a Marxist communist asshole. He gets a few things right here and there, and when he gets those things right, I like to play the clips where, you know, he takes Anna Bott to task and lets her know that the Israelis, the kikes, are trying to rape the Palestinians and are raping the Palestinians. You know, you get a couple of Israelis that are kidnapped off the border, and then the mainstream media, Rupert Murdoch's Sky News, are the first ones to go, Mr. Galloway, how do you justify the people that have been kidnapped off the border? The two people that have been kidnapped by the Lebanese, and I'm thinking, hold on a second, there's hundreds of Lebanese that have been kidnapped, and then all of a sudden Galloway comes out and says, are you fucking joking, there's hundreds of fucking Lebanese that have been kidnapped off the fucking border, you know. We'll be right back. What an appropriate song.
Remember the times when we were kids playing war games in your yard? Everybody had to be a hero, get one in the heart. Night would fall and we'd call it...
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
If you haven't heard one of Blackbird 9's shows, you're missing out on some important information, ladies and gentlemen. Get on over to Spreaker.com and do a search for Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club. Excellent information. He'll let you know what's going on behind the scenes compared to that of the mainstream media.
Well, we're happy, Merchant. You've been called out on so many levels. What do you have to say for yourself these days?
Is that all you've got to say for yourself?
Yes, Two's Company 3's Loud, ladies and gentlemen. With you, the good Malefic Ascentius and myself, Sean Surplus, talking up a storm here. It's my cunt of the week, by the way. The next break is, of course, for the cunt of the week. Now, Maleficus, I've just got to give you a heads up. You may or may not want to be a part of this one, because the person that I have nominated for the cunt of the week gets around in... the alternative media circles. So you might have a different opinion on him. This particular person decided to try and trash me and calling me a cunt behind the scenes, not listening or reading to what I actually fucking said. I posted a video recently to some of you in the alternative circles, and people got it. People understood, because I made perfectly sure I said a lot of my opinions and viewpoints have changed. But he obviously didn't do that. Instead, he just went off half fucking packed full of shit and said, "You can't, you fucking said this about Hitler and you fucking rah, 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 rah." So when we get to the cunt of the week, you can choose to just stand aside if you wish. I will respect that. Or you can decide to stand in. But I've got some audio clips of him, because he sent an audio clip to me, and then some leading into what Shield Maiden had to say. I've had her permission to actually play them, and what I had to say in response, including audio that I sent to the TCTA Skype chat. So I'm going to be playing those, and I will probably comment in between accordingly. But the person I'm talking about is indeed, as far as I'm concerned, the cunt of the week. Probably the cunt of a lifetime. You know, He's a fucking douchebag. I had him on the show, and he turned out to be a fucking douchebag. Did not read what I had to say about changing viewpoints and shit. But we will get to that real soon, and I'm going to have some fucking fun.
Wow, it sounds like you've done an awful lot of prep for this week's Cunt of the Week. Normally, I just pick one out of a hat because they're easy. There's so many of them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've done some. No, I've juiced it. I've juiced this Cunt of the Week. Yeah, yeah. Fucking oath. You know when you're standing over that juicer and you're wrestling with that orange, that piece of orange, and you're like, sort of thing. I juiced it. He really deserves the Cunt of the Week. And I don't give a fuck about what all the other alternative hosts say. Oh, Sean, you probably shouldn't have done that. Fuck you. You know, if you don't like what you're listening to, don't fucking listen. Plain and simply. I don't bow down to anybody. When somebody deserves the Cunt of the Week or somebody deserves a fucking smack on the ass, then I give it to them. Plain and simply. If you don't like it, don't listen. So, all right. Maleficus, I want to get to the... unless you want to finish up on any thoughts that we were discussing... I do want to actually get to this Lima declaration from Malcolm. He really is one of the few politicians that says it as he sees it. And this is why he never gets into a power structure where he could become a proper, put that word out there, proper Prime Minister. He'll never get there because he speaks the truth. He speaks against our corrupt, vile, fucking communist, Marxist politicians. So he'll never get there. But the thing is, there's a lot of us out there that listen to what he has to say. And unless you've got some thoughts you want to close up on... Yeah.
Yes, I will, just purely because you've just brought a point up that's very important. And just before the break, we were discussing George Galloway.
Yep.
And he's very, very pro-Palestinian. I think he has a Lebanese wife
mm-hmm.
at one point. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong.
I'm pretty sure he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
I know he's got a couple or two or three mixed race children, which he's very protective of. You know, that's why I say he's very Kalergi man all the way. Whatever. But the point being is that he's very outspoken. He's very good at coming down heavy on opposition. I've seen some of his speeches in the Houses of Parliament in the UK, and they're very potent. They're very powerful. You know, you've got to admire the man for having the balls, but at the same time, as I said, you know, and this relates to what you've just said as well about Marxist, communist people in government, he's one of them. So yeah. Regardless of how much, you know, we think, oh, you know, this guy's pulled a few good punches there, you know, the end result, you know what the end result is going to be if they get given any kind of reign or power.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, well, you know, I wrote to him on quite a many occasions saying, you know, you're a race mixer. But also, I left that to the bottom of the page, of course, because otherwise he wouldn't read my post. What I did say is that I think you need to stop defending the Palestinians. Albeit that I really love the fact you tore Anna Bott to pieces. I really loved that. But the thing is, I think what we need to do is just disarm Israel, because, you know, Palestine just has rocks to throw. That's all they've got, really. Maybe the occasional bazooka. But Israel has tanks, it has jets, it has all sorts of things that can rain hellfire down on Palestine. Also saw what happened to Rachel Corrie, where she was raped twice, meaning she was run over by a bulldozer, then they backed over her. She was dead after that happened. But not just that, US forces basically labelled one of the ships Rachel Corrie in her name, and then they boarded the Israelis boarded that ship and basically raped her again by killing some of the people on that ship. So that was two instances. You know, what I say is this. Mr. Galloway, and this is one of the things I wrote to him, Mr. Galloway, What we need to do is just disarm the Israelis so they're only left with rocks, just as Palestine is, and let the both of them just go at it with rocks. Fuck them both. They're both pieces of shit. I can't stand the Palestinians, and I can't stand the fucking Israelis. They're third world pieces of filth. Let them go at it. Let them have at it with rocks. Take the tanks away. Take the jets away. Take the bazookas away. Take everything away and leave them with rocks and let them fucking deal with each other and then walk away. It's none of our fucking business. You know? This whole idea that somehow Australia, the UK, you know, Ireland, Scotland, Cornwall, Britain, you know, every part of England, all of these countries have to somehow be their fucking saviour. No, fuck that. Just disarm all of them, walk away, and let them fucking have at it, and then just not look back. Oh, I couldn't think of anything better than them rocking themselves to death. And it has nothing to do with me. I mean, I want nothing to do with that, but I couldn't think of anything better for them to throw rocks at each other and killing each other. They're fucking idiots. They're fucking low-life, low-IQ fucking idiots. What do I give a fuck about them? I have to look after my own kids. Thank you very fucking much. You know? I don't have
Charity starts at home, mate. That's
charity
exactly
starts
right.
at home.
Charity starts at home.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Yeah, okay. So let's get to this audio clip, Maleficus. Where is it? The Lima Declaration. Now, I have played this in the past, not so recent past. I think it was like a few months ago, roughly, maybe a couple of months ago, where one of our senators actually said we need to... Where is it? Yeah, Malcolm Roberts. Malcolm Roberts was the one who said that the Lima Declaration has... helped destroy Australia, and we need to do something about this. So I want to replay this. I want to reiterate this for the new audience. Like, we are getting more listeners. By the way, new listeners, there might be a short recess on this broadcast if I have to move the equipment to a friend of mine's house. But don't go away, please. Check back as much as you possibly can, because I will find a way to automate Maleficus into uploading a show each week nonetheless, and we will give you the link each week in the chat room, tcta.chatandgo.com, tcta.chatandgo.com, and you will still be able to hear something until I can get back on my feet. So by all means, bear with us. We're in a bit of turmoil at the moment when it comes to my daughter and I moving to another house and everything like that. So just bear with us, but we will always try and get something off to you each week that you can listen to. So by all means, stick around. I appreciate your listenership, and I appreciate the fact that you want to listen to what we've got to say. And by all means, we want to listen to what you've got to say. You can email me at dessnr@hotmail.com. That's D for dog, E for Edgar, S for Sam, N for Nelly, and R for Roger @hotmail.com. And give us your say. Give us your thoughts. And we will discuss those thoughts as much as we possibly can. By the way, Maleficus, we have had some interesting comments in on the website. And I didn't get... I wanted to get to them last week, but I couldn't because we were running out of time. But I would like to try and get to them this week if I can. So
okey-dokey.
Yeah, let's try and do that. But in the meantime, I'm going to be playing this clip when it comes to the Lima Declaration and Senator Roberts speaking about that Lima Declaration that so many people have called me a kook about. So when you want to call people like Maleficus, JB, Windmiller, you know, Shield Maiden, myself, everyone else in the chat room a kook, you might want to think twice, because even the senators... are coming to Parliament now and speaking about this stuff. This is very important. Have a listen.
Senator Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Deputy President. As a servant to the people of Queensland and Australia, I want to speak about this bill. I'll speak on this bill and actually speak mostly about the amendments proposed by Senator Patrick to the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill. I won't be voting on this bill because our party will not be supporting any
That'd be right. A break comes up right as the speech is beginning. Let's just reverse a bit of that up. And we'll come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back from the cunt of the week. And then we'll play the rest of this.
One of the hardest things to do is to wake up from your historical slumber. And what I mean by this is the fact that you've been taught by one thing within your indoctrination centres, your schools, and now you have to wake up to a total other. It's not an easy thing to have your eyes open, but stick with it and you'll not be able to turn back. It will be all worth it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you feel the need to donate to TCTAUnleashed.com, by all means do so. It's not that I need the money to keep the network going, it costs me bugger all. But I need beer. So if you want to send me a beer, send me $5 or $10 here and there. Cheers. Enjoy the show.
German mercenaries that the British banksters were paying to quell the rebellion of us patriots, and they lost, and we formed our country, and we're still the same rabble-rousers, some of us. It was only 1-3% that took active participation in the first revolution, and it's going to be the same thing in the second revolution. And we're not we are not the revolutionaries. We're not the ones overthrowing our constitution. We're trying to stop the revolutionaries. We're the counter-revolutionaries.
1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
107.9 FM.
WTFR.
We're bored and free.
And now it's time for the cunt of the week.
Who are you fucking calling cunt, cunt?
Yeah, what did he say, cunt?
He said, you fucking cunt.
Well, you fucking cunt. Who are you to say to him that he was a fucking cunt?
Oh, what do you fucking think, mate? I'm fucking defending my fucking self.
Well, no, he come up to you, call you cunt. That's fair enough. Well, he said, you fucking cunt. And you said back to him, you fucking cunt.
Well,
what do you expect him to say back apart from you fucking stupid fucking cunt?
Well, I don't expect nothing, do I?
He's a fucking cunt. Yes, he's a fucking cunt.
Yes, he is a fucking cunt. We have a cunt of the week this week, Maleficus. A real cunt. A real...
okay.
A real cunty cunt. Right? So now you can choose to step aside if you happen to know this name within the alternative media. Or you can join in. It's up to you. But my cunt of the week... Dun 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 dun. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Yes, my cunt of the week is Gretchen Zwigler that I had on the show at one stage. What had happened is I posted a video. Now, when I posted that video, I made it perfectly clear in both the TCTA chat, in Skype, and also to anybody I individually sent it to, that obviously my viewpoints and some of my opinions have changed. You know, I have reread Mein Kampf. So this particular person took it upon himself. Now, one of the statements I made, as he knows, was that I, in that video, he said, and any of those of you that Maleficus and other people had know, I said in that video that, you know, I think that anybody who goes to war is psychotic, right? Because, you know, I didn't, back then, this was years ago, 2012 or 2014 or something like that. And I said that, that back then I used to think, you know, no matter who goes to war, it's a fucking horrible thing. It's psychotic. But as I said, some of my opinions and viewpoints have changed because I read Mein Kampf a second time, and I'm not talking about the annotated Jew Mein Kampf. I'm talking about the actual Mein Kampf without the molestation. And I'd learned more and understood Hitler more and realized that he was just trying to defend his country. Obviously, this piece of shit didn't get that, so he sends me this message.
Sean, you're so fucking wrong about Adolf Hitler and sending kids to war and all that shit, you fucking asshole. How dare you, you stupid fucking cunt. Adolf Hitler for 4 months tolerated the bombing of his cities. He never wanted war. The war was foisted on him by that fucking cigar-chomping, alcoholic, fucking zio-toad. You stupid fucking ass. And you go on air. I went halfway, and then you start doing that regarding Adolf Hitler, you know, and all of your adulation of Dr. Irving and so forth. Even Dr. Irving, we think, was quite full of shit, actually, and a disinformation agent. Sean, and the other thing is you put up other people's documentaries, and are you giving them credit for it? I mean, so far, you put together a pretty good presentation until you get to there. And all your rants about, you know, this and that and whatever. Fuck, man. That just so fucking turned me off. Don't send me any more of your shit.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be sending you more of my shit until you block me. Because you're a fuckhead. Let's get to the next one. This is where I responded to him. What? No, you're the stupid fucking asshole. What did I say? I said, obviously some of my opinions and views have changed since then. Okay? So don't fucking be screaming about something when I made it clear right there in the post above your voice message here saying, obviously some of my opinions and views have changed since then, but you will still get the gist of it. All right? Obviously, my views and opinions have changed on Hitler because I've read Mein Kampf since then. Okay? I've watched different documentaries since then. You call me a motherfucking cunt again. Come on the fucking show and call me a fucking cunt. After I made it fucking clear that obviously some of my views have fucking changed. You fucking idiot. Jesus fucking Christ. Wake the fuck up. I made it fucking clear. And then I went on to say this. You also haven't listened to the show very closely over the years because I've clearly stated my mistakes on Hitler in the past. Okay? So, you know, don't come across half-cocked as if you know what the fuck I'm thinking when you haven't checked out the past shows. The shows that I've been doing since 2003, Gertchen. Alright? Don't fucking come across half-cocked when obviously you don't know my past and my history when it comes to Hitler. You fucking arsehole. Go fuck yourself. You've just made cunt of the week. He certainly has. Now, I went on to say this in the TCTA chat.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of division, even in the ranks of the supposedly clear thinkers, yeah.
Well, you know, he wasn't clearly thinking. He didn't obviously read what I was saying. You know, that I have obviously changed my opinions and my viewpoints. So he wasn't clearly thinking. I fucking was. That's the reason I put that statement in there. Here's what I put into the TCTA chat in Skype. Be careful of this Gertchen fucking Zwigler fucking character. I made it clear to him when I posted the video, the one I did in 2014, that obviously my views and opinions have changed somewhat since I made the video. But he just fucking tried to abuse the living fuck out of me, saying I'm a cunt and everything because of what I said about Hitler. Obviously my views have changed, and anybody who listens to the show can fucking see that. You know? We make mistakes in our past while we're learning. And then when we learn, we clean those mistakes up. And he just fucking went apeshit, fucking calling me a cunt and all sorts of things. So be careful of this fucking character. He's just made cunt of the week, by the way, Maleficus. I'm going to be labelling him the cunt of the week. He's a piece of shit. I mean, it was right there clearly in front of him. Obviously, some of my views have changed and my opinions have changed. And it's obvious because people who listen to the show, and I said, so I spoke back to him and I said straight out, listen, you haven't heard the history of TCTA then, because you'll clearly see that I idolise Hitler, you know, that now that I've learned what he's really about. You know, we were brought up to think that Hitler was a fucking demon, you know, by our mainstream media, the idiot box in the living room, the Jew box in the living room. So, of course, it's easy to think that that's what he is. And sometimes, and then you're sort of weaning your way out of that. And you say, well, he might have been this. And, you know, he's a psycho because he fucking went into war, rah, rah, rah. And then you start coming out of that. You know, you read Mein Kampf a second time, a third time. And then you realise it. But he just came off half-cocked and fucking started calling me a cunt and all sorts of things. You know, this guy's a fucking idiot. An absolute fucking idiot. Yes, he is, and this is what Maze had to say as well. And I have got her permission to play this.
Yeah, that's bullshit, because you made that back in 2009. I think we all had very different opinions back then. Man, I was still kind of a bit of a libtard back in 2009. You know, I was still one of those let's all hold hands and sing kumbaya kind of person, because I wasn't clued into reality at that point. So that's just kind of... Yeah, that's just kind of retarded. And you did make it very clear to all of us everywhere you posted that your views had changed. So, yeah, that's just, that's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. I won't play the next one, Maleficus, because that one goes for a bit longer. And and we are in a couple of minutes going to be going into the break. Going into the break.
Okay, so, well, I will say this. I didn't actually watch the video because it was 2.5 hours long, but I am aware that you posted it. And when you did post it, by the way, just to clarify for the people listening and the people in the chat room, it wasn't posted in the TCTA WTFR chat room, as in TCTAchatandgo.com. It was posted in a private chat room between various hosts that we have on the show here.
No, I actually ended up posting it in the chat room there, and also at Hawley's blog and Incendiary Radio.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So, but that was the chat that you were on about at the beginning of this. So, I didn't actually watch the video because it was 2.5 hours long, and I've had a couple of weeks from hell.
Yeah. No, I know.
I'll go into that off air, but. So long and the short of it is, you did stipulate that your views may have changed, and you even posted it to me privately and said that exactly the same thing. Your views have changed and yada yada, but I might get something out of it. So, you know, simply he's overreacted purely because he's not listened. And this is something I always say is the only thing that ever stops is communication, you know, and, you know, look, I've never spoken to the gentleman. I've seen him on, I can't call him a gentleman because you've labeled him a cunt, but I've made that mistake with my own cunts in the past. So, yeah, okay. So, but I will say this, that is you are being honest. You were up front with what you said. And, you know, I've never spoken to Gertchen myself. I've listened to a few broadcasts that he's been on. Yeah, he makes some valid points. He also makes some really outlandish ones. Same as I suppose we all do. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Take us out, Maleficus. Oh, well, don't take us out. I mean, I want to live, but...
Yeah. Stand over there with your hands behind your back. Okay, you're listening to TCTA. Come back in a few minutes. We'll be back after the break.
FM here in the Alpines of Australia, and 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York. The only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion.
Albert Camus. Albert Camus was a journalist, editor and editorialist, playwright and director, novelist and author of short stories, political essayist and activist, and arguably, although he came to deny it, a philosopher. He ignored or opposed systemic philosophy, had little faith in rationalism, asserted rather than argued many of his main ideas, presented others in metaphors, was preoccupied with immediate and personal experience, and brooded over such questions as the meaning of life in the face of death. WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company, Three's Aloud, with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Aloud, top of the second hour. WTFR, where thought is free radio. With you is the good Maleficus Sentius and myself, Sean Surplus, for this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, depending on where you are. This is also brought to you live by 107.9 FM and 1650 AM in Tonawanda, New York. So we're 107.9 FM in the Alpines of Australia, 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York, thanks to the good Jimmy X. And we've got a plethora of other people that cover us. Let me bring that up. I should have had that up in the first place, but I didn't. Where are you? Where? Oh, there, oh dear.
Sean's struggling to get it up again.
Good on ya. You bastard. Let me have a look here.
mate, with the things you were saying in chat earlier, I think I've earned this one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I copped that one. We've got TuneIn Radio, MyTuner, Listen Online Radio, Radio Stream Mitter, Stream Finder, Radio Garden, my favourite, Live Online Radio, Streamer, and of course, who else have we got, Maleficus?
We have the gorgeous
The hippies. You've got to love the hippies. Thank you to them by all means. They go mobile and they have a streaming, especially during the summertime. It's a warm summer over there. They're enjoying themselves.
Thank you, hippies. Thank you very much, hippies. And you know, it's what's really nice about the idea of the hippies is that we're going to new audiences, like, you know, at random.
Yeah.
You know, it's people are stumbling across us going, what the hell did I just listen to?
Yeah, like, seriously, can I have another joint? You know? You know? Yeah, no.
After the show, man. After the show, I'll slow down. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm thankful to all of these people that are covering us and allowing us our free speech. You know, I mean, you take a look. Let's before we get back to the fucking shitty hour. TuneIn Radio, MyTuner, Listen Online Radio, Stream Mitter, Stream Finder, Radio Garden, Live Online Radio Streamer. Now, look, all of those don't really have to be covering us, and I'm sure that there's probably some diversity going on, in some of these organizations, but they're allowing our freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get back to the cunt of the week in a moment, what I call the shitty hour. segment.
There's a couple of nominees. We forgot to mention it, but there is a couple of nominees from the chat room as well. So we'll get into that in a sec.
Awesome. Yeah. Good stuff, Maleficus. So what happens is I'm going to finish up. Before I finish up on the cunt of the week, I just do want to reach out to all of you that cover the show at risk of... Like some of you might be in countries that are risking prison time for allowing such a show to be aired. And I do understand that. I think of that a lot. It's not like I just skip over you and read you out each week and not think of the risks that you might be taking. I fucking do. I understand it. Because over here in Australia, I can end up in 3 years worth of prison for certain shit that I say here. So I understand it more than a lot of you out there. But yeah, a tilt of the hat to you for everything you do when it comes to broadcasting us out there, the hippies, the whole lot, every one of you. Now, I'm going to play the next clip when it comes to what I sent to... After Maids had spoken about, like, saying, you know, no, that I call bullshit on that, Sean. And as you did, Maleficus, you know, I call bullshit because, yeah. You know, you did make a disclaimer saying that your viewpoints and your opinions have changed.
Maybe he didn't understand at what point which viewpoints...
Here's the thing. This is why I don't hate on him. I don't hate on him. I think he's the cunt of the week because he could have asked me, or he could have been humble and just said straight out, you could have been humble, and that's what you're going to hear in this next clip. You could have been humble about it and just said, hey, Sean, where were you talking, or where were you going with this? And then I could have defended myself and said, oh, no, this is where I was going. This was made years ago. This video was made fucking years ago. So he could have just been humble about it and said, Sean, where were you going with this? I want to educate you. And then I would have said, okay, this is where I've been educated since. He didn't need to fucking just fly off the fucking handle. You know what I mean? Like, people say, well, Sean, you fly off the handle. Yeah, but you went with all due course. Not because, like, if somebody writes to me via email, I don't just fly off the fucking handle because someone questions what I had to say. You know, what I do is I say, no, you don't understand. This is where I'm at with this. You know?
Yeah, and also, like, you know, people who've listened for any length of time will know that me and you will have, you know, a back and forth, a set to sometimes when we're in the middle of a broadcast.
But we don't call each other cunt. We don't call each other a cunt, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, we do sometimes.
No, but only in a joking sense. But
only in jest. No, only in jest, of course. But the fact is, one or the other of us will turn around afterwards and go, oh, hang on, all right, yeah, I didn't understand that. You were right. Or, sorry, I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and that's how we progress as people. You know, you don't just fucking jump down someone's throat for no reason. So I understand.
You know, if you're going to call me a cunt,
I do think it's a lack of communication, mate. I do think it's a lack of communication, and it's not a lack of communication on your part. I think it's a lack of communication on his. And you know, he's slipped up there. So you're right, fine. You know, I don't, like I say, I don't hate the guy at all. I can't even really comment because it's nothing to do with me. But
yeah,
I understand the nomination completely.
Yeah. No, look, he got the cunt of the week. That's all there is to it, because he acted like a cunt. He called me a cunt without sitting back and fucking listening to my shows and looking at...
You missed a trick when you messaged him back. You should have said, who are you calling cunt?
I know, right?
You missed a trick there. Oh man.
Yeah, he's a fucking cunt. He's a fucking cunt. You know, but you know what? Like I said earlier, I don't hate on the guy, but he has earned cunt of the week. Look, sometimes I'm gonna be a cunt too. And I would expect to be cunt of the week, where somebody would say, you know what, I nominate you, Sean, as cunt of the week, and I'll tell you fucking why. Okay. Give me the beef. I'll take it on the fucking nose. No worries. But the thing is, he called me a cunt without being humble about even questioning what I had to say after I made the disclaimer that some of my opinions and viewpoints have changed. He could have just said, what viewpoints and opinions have changed? Are they the ones about Hitler? I would have said, yes. Yes, they're the ones that have changed. I have read Mein Kampf another two times. So, you know, fuck you. You know, if you're going to be an ass about it, then you're going to get called cunt of the week. Let's do this now. This is the next message I sent to the TCTA chat, forgetting that he's not a part of it. So I was talking to him, even though he couldn't hear it. No, he's talking about the one that was done in 2014, the long one that goes for over, I think it's 2,026 minutes. And I included a lot of different documentaries in that one.
You dumb shit.
That's the one he's talking about, not the one that I... It's not 2,026 minutes. Of course. I wasn't thinking. I was jacked up on the coffee then, too. I did back in 2009. That was a short one.
Short one,
2026. He really has no substance at all. Then he started going on about how I didn't give credit to the documentaries. I didn't give credit because they don't even give credit to themselves back then on YouTube. You know, who created it or anything like that. I didn't know who created these fucking documentaries, so I just cut them out and put them in the I want to make that clear too. Back then, people would harvest other people's documentaries, put them on their channels, but not label who they were. So keep that in mind. A lot of these documentaries where I played small clips, like small snippets from their documentaries, I had no idea who the fuck they were, so I couldn't give credit. You know, he didn't look into that either. You know, he's obviously not been on the internet for too fucking long, these fucking documentaries. So I just cut them out and put them in the doco that I did. It's fucking ridiculous. You know, the guy's a fucking loon. He hasn't looked back into my history. He hasn't fucking... And how many times have I said that I agree with Hitler on the fact that they should have possibly gassed the fucking Jews? You know what I mean? Even though Hitler didn't say that, you know. The biggest thing he's going on about is that I said, I think that anybody who goes to war is a psycho. Now, I clarified the mistake I made with that when I said countless times since that war was foisted upon him and he had no no reason to believe that there was anything other than self-defense. So this guy's got no leg to stand on.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I was going to say, at the end of the day, it was foisted upon him. He made no less than 6 magnanimous peace treaties, peace offers.
That's right.
And they were all rejected. My own granddad is listed as saying that, during the Telegram War of 1940, the Telegram War being what we call the phony war, Britain offered to, as long as Germany reinstated the gold standard, Britain offered to call off the war on that basis.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, but I didn't know this stuff back then when I made the documentary.
I know that. Yeah, I know that. But I'm just clarifying the statement you've just made. Not only was he foisted into it, he made 6 magnanimous peace offers.
Yeah.
And even to give back the territory that he'd fucking taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, during that time, the only way the British would accept, according to my grandfather, the only way the British would accept that is if Germany reinstated the gold standard, which, of course, would have just put them all back into usury.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had no fucking gold anyway after the Versailles Treaty.
Yeah, so, and look, you know, it took me a while to learn this, as it does all of us. Yeah. As you've gone through the transition, Maleficus, as Shield Maiden has gone through the transition, every one of us, Paul English, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, we all went through a transition where we started to realise that the lies told about Hitler were indeed lies. What this cunt of the week failed to understand was that I had changed my viewpoints and opinions. And it wasn't, and I said it in general because it wasn't just about Hitler, but there were other things in that documentary that I have changed my opinions on. Otherwise, I would have to sit there and label every different opinion about every different substance and subject and everything like that. I wasn't going to do that. So I just wrote a message to all of you saying, you know, obviously some of my opinions have changed. Now, the reason I said the word obviously is because anybody who listens to my show knows that I do idolize Hitler. I do idolize George Lincoln Rockwell. You know, there's certain things people need to fucking read rather than just go off half fucking cocked and start calling me a cunt, because otherwise you might become the cunt of the fucking week. Read what the fuck I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Jimmy said it back in 2009. He said, Sean, when it comes to radio and video and stuff like that, people sometimes only hear every second word. Race. Jew.
nigger, spick, race, right? And then all of a sudden you get people writing to you via email going, oh, all you talk about is race, nigger, fucking Jew, fucking rah, 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 rather than actually listening to the substance and the content. So when you get somebody like this that comes across to me, especially with my fucking attitude, like, you know, I bought myself up since I was 14, and they call you a cunt, that's when you go into fucking overdrive and say, call me a cunt again. I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Come to my face and call me a cunt and see what fucking happens. You know, it really fucking riles me up. And this is why he's the cunt of the week. I'll continue this clip. Anything other than self-defense. So this guy's got no leg to stand on. He's obviously not listened to the fucking show. It's just fucking bullshit. Absolutely fucking bullshit. Like, go back and listen to the show. You know, it's like this theory of people hear every second word when you're listening to a fucking show.
There we go.
Racist. Race. Culture.
Gaylord.
Diversity. Jew. Jew. Racist. Hitler. Racist. Hitler. You know, it's that theory. And this guy hasn't gone back and listened to what I had to fucking say. So, yeah, he's definitely made cunt of the week. I'm telling you now. He's pissed me off. To call me a cunt, he said, you stupid fucking cunt. You come into my fucking face and call me a stupid fucking cunt and see what fucking happens. I'll fucking smash your ass. I'll fucking slam you. There we go. And next up is Maids talking about disappointment.
I would point out, too, that as we've said before, this is exactly why we can't get anywhere. You know, this is exactly why we can't organize and group up and come together against the real enemy. Because, you know, everyone's got to get butt hurt the second they hear something that they don't like. And they've got to jump to conclusions and all that. And I don't understand this. You know, a few months ago or whenever it was, you know, Maleficus and I didn't agree on why we thought Bill Gates and Melinda Gates were getting divorced. But it wasn't like we were like, oh, well, F you, Maleficus. F you, Shieldmaiden. It was just like, no, you know, here's why I think he's doing this. Here's what I think is going on. Okay. And we went about our day. Like, that was it. And I don't know why more people can't do that. It's just really frustrating. You know, I don't get people who want to throw a good friendship or a good acquaintance out the window just because of one thing that you may have said like 6 or 7 years ago. It's just really disappointing.
By the way, Maleficus, Shieldmaiden actually said it was 2009. It wasn't. I think it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken. It might have even been 2014 that I made that. I can't be sure. But the thing is, nonetheless, we all learn. And sometimes some of us slower than others. Some of us faster than others. So that's the whole point. This is what I... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it goes... look, we all play to our strengths. We all learn at our own rate, and we learn different things at different rates. And this is vitally important in the understanding of all this, of the movement or the knowledge base as a whole. And that is, as I've said before on the broadcast, we can't all know everything, you know? For instance, one of the people that really gets on my goat is Robert Kennedy Jr. Because he advocates for all this vaccine injuries and protect the children and blah 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 blah. He's got an awful lot of money behind him. What's he ploughing some of it into? He's ploughing it into Tesla, the car, Tesla. Who's that linked to? Oh, yeah, I wonder. And this is all backing the fucking green movement.
Yeah.
We know is a detriment to our world and is being used as a leverage tool. I've forgotten the analogy you used, Sean, but this is another rung of fencing. You know, when you want to capture a horse, this is just another line of fencing, you know, in the enclosure before you shut the gate.
The whole
global thing. So you've got the likes of Robert Kennedy, who's campaigning for, you know, the whole I don't want to call it an anti-vaccination movement, although it is an anti-vaccination
movement. You're talking about the you're talking about the Hegelian dialectic.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. I get it. To clarify, that's exactly what I'm talking about. But this is, you know, the whole environment thing is just another line of fencing,
yeah,
you know, to confuse us and to pen us in. And you know, slowly and surely, it'll end up being a triangular load of fencing that we're all penned in on, and there's no way out, you know?
I wholeheartedly concur. He's sort of like, I don't want vaccines, but I want to make sure that I can lock the horses up. And then all of a sudden he's like, I love the idea of Jacques Fresco and the bubbles that we have to live in so that we can protect the environment. And I'm like, oh, fuck off, idiot.
But at the same time, I have to put my cards on the table and say, don't get me wrong, he's got enough money to educate himself and know better. But we can't all know everything all at once. That's why we rely on the campfire. You know, that's why we rely on people sat around us and pulling us up on stuff from the, you know, anything that I say or you say on the radio. That's what the chat room's there for. If someone's got other information, bring it to the table. You know, we can't all know everything. Robert Kennedy was maybe a bad example because he's got enough money and sense to know better.
Mm.
And but then he knows exactly what will happen if he doesn't toe the line as well. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, yeah, look, they can pop a cap in his ass anytime they want because he can barely move, you know. I know what you're saying. I do know what you're saying. You know, the Hegelian dialectic has raped everybody. You know, the whole idea of sustainable development and all of this, which is sustainable development, is nothing more nor less than a pretty word for property theft. What's it called when they can run power lines through your fucking backyard? It's called shit. Someone in the chat room will remember it. Where they can actually run power lines through your, like, power poles through your backyard or even confiscate part of your backyard to run power poles through it. Even confiscate your house to be able to run power poles through that area. There's a word for it. JB will probably know what I'm talking about in the chat room.
Something that JB has just brought up in the chat room, which is relevant to what we were just saying, is Blackbird Nine's 5 Bs. Which is bribe, bully, blackmail, banish, and bury.
Yeah.
So the people who are fairly up there and have got enough money and power to be swinging things in certain directions also know exactly which side their bread is buttered, and they ain't going to fuck anyone over because they know exactly what it means. I mean, Robert Kennedy's had 2 members of his family assassinated by these people. He knows exactly what will happen if he doesn't toe the line, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry, I was just sipping my coffee. I'm going to play this last clip for the cunt of the week, and then we're going to...
Okay. We'll roll. And then we better get onto the chat room cunts of the week before I forget.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll just,
don't worry, lads. I have written them down. It's fine.
There we go. Maleficus is on top of it. I'm going to play this last clip, which is called Jimmy Nailed It. And I posted this in the TCTA Skype chat. Yeah, isn't it what Jimmy said back in 2009? That it's really disappointing that we can't get along because somebody gets professionally offended about something that you said and may have made a mistake about, or may not have, you know, whether it be years ago or on that day. You know, he could have easily just said, Sean, you made a mistake about Hitler. But no, he comes along and says, Sean, you made a mistake. You're totally wrong about Hitler, you stupid fucking cunt. Yeah, like I said earlier, you come and call me a fucking cunt to my face, motherfucker. 16 and a half years in fucking boxing. I'll kick your fucking ass. I'll kick your fucking face in. And when you're down on the ground, I'll break your fucking ribs. I'll break your hip so that it's a fucking sealed deal. You don't call me a cunt, motherfucker. I've bought myself up since I was fucking 14. And I've come through the other side knowing exactly what Hitler was and why he had to do what he did. And George Lincoln Rockwell and all of those. Dr. William Pierce. You know, Eustace Mullins. The whole fucking lot. Come and call me a cunt to my fucking face and see what fucking happens. I'll break your fucking cheekbones, motherfucker. You piece of shit. Call me a fucking cunt. Yeah, you see what fucking happens if I meet you, Gertrude the cow. You motherfucker. You piece of shit. You know, he jumped to conclusions. And if he had just said, you made a mistake about Hitler and I'll tell you why, I would have sat down, I would have listened very humbly, and then would have been able to explain, no, you don't understand. Like I said, my opinions and views have changed. And I'll tell you what opinions and views have changed on what subject. You want to call me a cunt? Come and do it to my fucking face, Gertrude. So there you go, Maleficus. That's Gertrude.
Did you just call him Gertrude?
Gertrude the cow, yeah.
Come on, that's below the belt.
No, it's not. Not on TCTA, it ain't. No fucking way. Anything goes here.
All right, then, Spawn.
Huh?
I said, all right, then, Spawn.
Nothing's below the fucking belt here. If they earn the cunt of the week and they act like a cunt, then nothing is off the fucking table. Here we go. Yes, we will never wussify or pussify TCTA. These people want to act like a cunt, they will earn cunt of the week, and by God, he fucking earned it. Gertrude the cow earned it.
Gertrude the cow.
Yep.
This is Magic Roundabout time, isn't it? Which was a very much a psychedelic hippie thing back in the 60s or 70s, wasn't it? So, yeah, you know, going back to what you said about Jimmy, how Jimmy nailed it, you know, yeah. You know, how people can't get along and, you know, and people fall out over minor things and don't actually try and reconcile it. But, you know, it's the reconciling bit. This is why I say communication never stops. It's the reconciling bit that needs to take place. You know, like he could have just contacted you and said, look, this is why I've said this, you know, or this is where you're wrong, Sean, mate, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, you have to consider that there's the reason people get so tetchy and uptight is because there's so many other people there that are just put there to muddy the waters, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, but
Which is why people get so touchy.
I left the door open for him. I said that I don't hate on him. And I don't. There's no reason to hate the guy. But there is a reason to nominate him as cunt of the week, given that he called me a cunt. You know,
pull him up on his own behaviour, that's fine.
And remember, you know, you come from, like I've said to you in the past, you come from a different background to me, where I, you know, grew up on the streets and in the wilderness and shit like that. And as my kids will tell you, it's created in me something different to what's created in you. So when somebody calls me...
I have to say this, though, Sean. Mm. Sean, I have to say this. I still pull people up on bad behaviour. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know? If someone bad mouths me or you know, they have to justify that to me. And if they're too cowardly to do it, then so be it. I consider that as I've won.
Yeah. You know? I'm just a bit more brutal in my approach because, you know... Like Maiden and I were talking just the other day, and I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have been on the streets, can relate to this. You know, one of the things Maiden says is that, you know, you react really quick, really aggressively. And I said, yeah, but you haven't had to wake up on the street and have somebody robbing you, or, you know, wake up under a bridge and have somebody kicking you, you know, teenagers thinking that you're just a bum and you're nothing more nor less, and they come up and start, oh, let's kick the shit out of him, or let's throw water in his face or something like that. I said, I've had to go through that sort of shit. So my reactions are different. So when somebody comes to me after I've brought myself up since 14 years of age and they start kicking sand in my face by calling me a cunt, they'd want to have fucking substance. He didn't have any substance. He had no fucking substance whatsoever. So therefore, he gets cunt of the week. And I have no holds barred. I have no guilt in that. Do I hate him? No. I don't hate the guy. But will I throw sand in his face? Fuck yeah. That's where I stand with it.
Well, yeah, good on you. You put your money where your mouth is. he obviously wanted to put his money where his mouth was as well. So,
well, he hasn't written back to me. He hasn't written back to me. So, I mean, I sent him a couple of audio messages, but he hasn't written back to me at all. I dare say he will listen to this week's show. That was the cunt of the week, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Malefica Sentius with you this evening, this afternoon, or this morning. Myself, Sean Surplus, same time zones. We'll be right back.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
You are listening to Two's Company Three's Allowed, aka TCTA. This is, of course, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR. It's time to bring on the racism, ladies and gentlemen. At one stage, it was not merited, but in this day and age where we need to preserve race and culture, it is indeed time to bring on the racism. It's time to man the fuck up.
Don't be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. Cats are evil. I know that a lot of people out there think that they're nice, warm and cuddly, but it's just not true. My mother used to have one called a Siamese, and it used to sit there at the wash house every night I come home from work. And I'd sort of sit there and get out of it. Get out of it, you mongrel. I'd give it a bit of a kick. And you know what had happened? My mother would look across as if, don't you kick my cat. She wouldn't hear it going, holy crap, they're evil.
Ah, the sound of white Western civilization. What is it I always say, Maleficus? Could you imagine a nigger fucking composing something like this? Not a chance.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone outside of what you would call white Western civilization coming up with something like that. And that's a beautiful thing in itself, not just for white Western civilization, but for the other cultures as well, because they come up with stuff that relates to them spiritually and physically, you know? So, which is, you know, that's great. That's their strengths, you know?
Well, I look at it this way. I probably look at it a little bit differently to you. I look at it this way. You know, when you come up with something like that, right, you send it over to the other races and they get to enjoy it. I see it that way. I don't necessarily think that there's anything they can give back to us. You know, I don't look forward to like,
get that. That's not what I was saying though. I'm literally just saying, you know, I along the lines of what Paul English used to say on Andy's show, which is, you know, I'm a white supremacist. I'm an African supremacist. I'm an Eskimo supremacist. I'm a Japanese supremacist. Because I believe that, you know, all these different races have their roots and their cultures and their creeds, which they should adhere to and appreciate and love. That's why I said I can't imagine any other race coming up with something that I perceive as so beautiful, and you obviously do as well. Because it's close to us. It's part of us. It's part of what makes us, you know?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm all for other races. This is interesting that we got onto this. It's something that I enjoy
just
discussing.
From a song.
just from a song, yeah. But also the fact that I always say, you know, the sound of white Western civilization. You know, I'm all for a people being feeling supreme in their own country. And because, as you say, you used the word perceive. You know, so they perceive themselves as supreme because they think that la 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 sort of thing is supreme to our right. They perceive their la 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 with their slinky necks and everything and their massive earrings and nose rings to be a beautiful thing compared to ours. I don't know how that works. I really don't, because, you know,
because it's not part of you. It's not part of you. It's not part of your roots. It's not part of your genetic heritage.
Yeah, because I'm not stupid. You know, I mean, I wouldn't put these fucking rings through my fucking nose and these massive rings through my ears that make me look like some fucking creature. You know, we can use the perception as an argument if you want. There is an element to that. But on the same token, we're not low IQ fucking apes that would destroy ourselves that way. It's just not us. And we can tell that, you know, you take an IQ test and they don't know how to problem solve. They still don't even know how to fucking create water wells in Sudan Darfur after we leave, after the white Christians leave their shores. So, you know, so to say that it's just about how people perceive, okay, yeah, there's an element to that, but there's also an element to they are just dumb fuckery. They are fucking apes. They're fucking ooga booga, as far as I'm concerned. They don't belong with us, you know?
If that's their heritage, mate, if that, you know, I'm not a Kalergiist, yeah? Mm. I am advocating exactly what you're saying. Look, there's an old question I asked my dad many, many years ago. I was watching the original Shogun series with
Shogun.
It was a series that was, and I because part of it was subtitled.
Because it was Japanese. Yeah.
But they had, you know, they had, was it Richard Burton or someone like that? It wasn't Richard Burton. It was someone else playing. Somebody famous playing the pirate that had, or the seaman that had washed up on Japanese shores and ended up learning how to become a samurai. That's what the whole thing was about.
Yeah,
you know, and he was accepted within Japanese society because he had honor, essentially.
By the way, the Shogun, sorry to interrupt Maleficus, you continue afterwards, keep your thoughts, but the Shogun,
I'm trying.
Yeah, I know, right? The Shogun, for those of you who don't know, the Shogun were actually formed to protect Japan from foreign invasion, meaning when people from America or Australia or whoever started coming across, the Shogun were there to say, you can stay here for a short term, and if you overstay, we will behead you. They were originally formed to protect Japan from a gradual foreign invasion, just to let you know.
So going back to this thing, when I was a kid, I watched the Shogun series, and I asked my dad, I said, Dad, why bother speaking Japanese? When, you know, why bother using a different word for the word apple if you can just say the word apple? And bear with me on this, right? So don't interrupt, just bear with me on this.
Okay.
And that is, he said, son, you're thinking in English. They're thinking in Japanese.
Yep.
They have a different word for apple, which changed my perception in a big way, because I suddenly realized that, yeah, I was thinking in English, you know? So this is why I love culture, is because it's so different, and cultures from around the world are so different and individual, and I would like that to be preserved. You know, I don't have any want to be part of Japanese society. I don't have any want to be part of African society, whatever. I love my own society. I love the heritage that has been handed down to me by my ancestors. I love that. So when I say I'm an Eskimo supremacist, like Paul English, to coin Paul English's phrase, I'm an Eskimo supremacist, I'm an African supremacist, I'm a Chinese supremacist, what I mean by that is I like to think the same thing that Paul English means, and that is, each should be taking care of and nurturing their own. And of course you're not going to really appreciate rap music, Sean. It's not part of your dialect. It's not part of your worldly dialect to have that. And that is why you find that piece of music so beautiful. It's because it's embedded in your being.
But this is the point I was trying to make, if I may.
Yes.
Is that it's not just that it's a part of my being. It's that rap is just dumb fuckery. You know it as well as I do because you're a composer. You play music. You write music. When you write rap...
I should stop you there just very quickly and say I have actually written a couple of hip-hop tunes in my time as well.
and how easy was it? It's as easy as fuck. It's not a classical
piece.
No,
I really like my wordplay. I really like my wordplay, so it wasn't actually that easy.
Oh, well, see, hip-hop and rap. I've done a few songs in rap and hip-hop just to show the kids how fucking easy it was. I was able to teach my son and my daughter how to write rap. And it's so fucking easy. It's not funny. It's because it's so simple. It's for simpletons. It's for people that are of low IQ mentality, which is if you have to write a classical piece... If you take a listen to The Castle of Wings that I wrote, people listen to that and say, that's actually more complex than you've ever done, Sean. These niggas can't fucking do it. That's what I'm saying, you know?
No, I get that. I get that. Mm. But so they should be in their own country doing what they want to do. That's fine. I love that. I love world diversity. I just don't like diversity within a country, you know? Simple as that.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm all for sharing culture as long as people are in their countries. I mean, I don't want the rap nigger culture. I'm selective, of course.
Let's be honest, though, as well. Like, the rap culture has been used rather like anyone that's read
weapon.
The David McGowan... Yeah, look, rather like anyone that's read the David McGowan book about Laurel Canyon, you'll realize that the hippie movement was... Or the peace movement was usurped by the hippie movement in order to bring the opposition under control and corrupt the opposition and corrupt society in actual fact. And rap music is being used in the same way amongst the, let's just say, inbuilt tribal nature of the guys, the black communities living in various parts of America. The rap is part of their culture. Yes, maybe. Well, not in Africa it wasn't. Rap is a manufactured part of their culture, which has been brought on by turf and drug wars.
That has been
pushed and instigated by the government that is governing that
country. I called bullshit.
We all know who that's controlled by.
Jimmy,
no different to fucking rave music over here, Sean. Rave music.
Jimmy and I called bullshit on that a long time ago. Jimmy and I both called bullshit on that a long time ago. Same as what JB's saying in the chat room. Rap originated in the OC region of France, not in Niggerland. Actually, no, it didn't. It started off with there was a big difference between the backwards and forwards poetry and everything like that and rap. So we have to get that straight. Here's the thing. Jimmy and I called bullshit on that a long time ago. The whole trying to dig the nigger out of their trouble-causing bullshit to say, oh, well, you know, it was, you know, sure, it was weaponized. There's no doubt about it. Niggers...
Totally weaponized.
Yeah,
the niggers
came up with it. There's no doubt in my mind they came up with it because, you know, they were... But once they started creating that, all of a sudden the Jews caught wind of it and said straight out, they said, look, let's take hold of this. Let's take the reins of this fucking crap that they come up with, like, la 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 la, you know, like, sort of shit. And then we can weaponize it. Like, we'll put it onto the white kids and everything like that. We called bullshit on this a long time ago.
Also, the point I was making, Sean, is that it's been weaponized against the black communities to divide the black communities. That's exactly what it's been done there as well.
Of course.
It's not just pushing it into white society.
Another reason they need to be in their own fucking countries, you know? Let them go at it themselves. Put them back in fucking Sudan Darfur with the Janjaweed and let them have at it. You know, we have some of the most beautiful creations and beautiful music on the face of the planet, and it's been fucking raped by these fucking asshole kikes that have weaponized, as you said, the rap and the hip hop and all of that. Like, seriously, if I can teach, and she was four at the time, if I can teach my 4-year-old daughter how to compose rap on a screen, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking single notes. I'm not talking,
Oh, you're talking about the music itself.
Yeah, like fucking.
Yeah, so much the wordplay.
No, I'm talking about both. Like, yeah, nigga, okay. Yeah, nigga, motherfucker, yeah, nigga. That's, of course, the dumbest fucking shit you've ever heard. Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking about the fucking also, right? And it's so fucking easy to compose. I taught my 4-year-old daughter at the time how to do it. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, and a lot of music production nowadays is, I'm not being funny, fairly mindless. And I'm not saying that from someone that's highly educated in music, but crikey, I've got a fucking brain, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, listen, we're about to go over the cunt of the hour. We've digressed slightly. I just want to get in the two cunts of the week.
No. We don't have another cunt. We don't have another cunt of the week segment. This goes all the way through to 58:20.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is we, you know, cunt of the week started an hour ago. I just want to get in the two cunts that were nominated in the chat room.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, okay. Please.
Okay. So, Windmiller's cunt of the week, Albert Bourla, Jewish chairman and CEO of Pfizer. Hashtag clot shot. Nuff said. So, yeah, he was the chap, I've mentioned him before, but he was the chap, Pfizer CEO, son of Holocaust survivor, joins Israeli embassy in Hanukkah lighting. Well, is not Hanukkah something about lighting the Hanukkah? Is that not... It's something about the vanquishing of their enemies, isn't it? Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. You mean?
Well, we call it Hanukkah over here. So, all right. Well, Hanukkah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Aluminum boy.
aluminum boy. Yeah. It comes from the man that says aluminium himself.
Aluminium. Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe Shield Maiden calls it that. That's just really wrong.
Yeah. It's just Well, you know.
Come on, give us some charm. Give us some charm. Give us some charm. Slip us some charm, Maleficus. Go on. Come on.
No, I'm not going to bother. No, I only get ridiculed for being charming, and then I get called a wart. So I'm not going any further than that.
Oh boy. No, for those of you that did actually read that, that's my humour. He's not a wart on my bottom. Okay, it was
you are older than me. What came first, the wart or the asshole?
There we go. Yeah, okay, so, good point.
The other nominee was from, I think Wim Miller deserves a drum roll for that one, mate, honestly, because he was definitely going to be one of my nominations as well at one point or another. So yeah, definitely a drum roll for the Albert Bourla.
There we go.
Well done, Wim Miller.
Yes.
Well done, Wim Miller. That's a well-deserved drum roll. Or firing squad drum roll. I kind of like that. Okay, and JB nominated another one. Simply, he didn't even give a reason. So I don't know whether this is a valid cunt of the week, right? But okay. He just said, That cunt Russell Brand should be cunt of the week.
Who's Russell Brown?
Russell Brand.
Who's Russell Brand again?
Russell Brand, British... Well, he reckons he's British. With a name like Brand, probably not. But British comedian. The one with the frizzy back-combed hair that's all out of control, and he likes to be some sort of social commentator nowadays who just thinks that he's fucking, you know, oh, I've got my finger on the pulse of the nation and I've got all these followers that are following me on Facebook and I haven't been kicked off it once.
That's exactly why I don't know who he is. I don't follow Facebook, I don't watch television or anything like that, so I wouldn't have a clue who that is.
Yeah, well, I don't have Facebook either, but, you know, obviously he probably has got a lot of followers. You know, cunts like that do have a lot of followers, but it's entirely up to you whether you nominate Russell Brand a drum roll. Secretly, I think probably, regardless of the lack of justification on JB's part, I can vouch for the fact that I'd probably like him to have a fucking firing drum roll.
Look at this! Look at this chat room! He's nominated Russell Brand and Sean! That motherfucker! He nominated me as a cunt of the week. I finally got there, Maleficus. You know,
I can't say that anyone sat around the campfire with us has any less validity to their statements. So, sorry, Sean.
Yeah, he's getting a drum roll because I fucking finally got there. That's it.
He's been trying so hard for so long.
I have. There's a tear in my eye. Can you see it?
Russell Brand, apparently, this is part of JB's reasoning. He's married to Jemima Goldsmith, a.k.a. Rothschild. I think with the name like Brand, B-R-A-N-D-T, I think he's also of a similar persuasion, JB.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think he uses the T on the end of his name, but yeah.
All right, so we're over with the cunt of the week, thank goodness. Yeah, poor old Gertrude's going to listen to this and he's going to be fucking pissed. All right, now we've
got... You did 45 minutes just on Gertrude. Oh, I've forgotten his fucking name now.
Gertchen.
Gertchen, yeah. Sorry, Gertchen.
You can call him Gertchen, Gretchen, or Gertrude. Either one works, you know. Gretchen.
Yeah, you are definitely earning that cunt of the week thing.
You know it. All right. I want to get back to this Lima Declaration, Devastated Australia Industries.
Get back to it. I think we only played about 3 seconds of it, didn't we?
Yeah, we really fucking did. Let's get back. I'm going to start it again because otherwise people ain't going to get it that just joined us.
No, they really won't. Yeah. I won't even get it.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Deputy President. As a servant to the people of Queensland and Australia, I want to speak about this bill. I'll speak on this bill and actually speak mostly about the amendments proposed by Senator Patrick to the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill. I won't be voting on this bill because our party will not be supporting any critical legislation until the government comes good with supporting dairy farmers with a code of conduct that is essential. That is a matter of priority. But we also want to protect small business, and we need to continue to ensure small business is given a fair go in our country. Small business is the largest employer in Australia. Now, coming back to this legislation, the purposes of the original legislation were to provide protections for the owners and developers of intellectual property in Australia, including providing protections through the innovation patent system. Many small businesses rely on incremental innovation, and this has been protected using the rapid and low-cost protection as provided in the innovation patent system. The bill before the House would phase out this important protection without replacing it with a system offering the same advantages that the innovation patent system provides. What would be left, Mr. Acting Deputy President, would be the standard patent system that is expensive, slow, and provides a level of uncertainty in the level of protection that it should create for the business that is developing innovative technology and ideas. The existing innovation patent process offers rapid and low-cost protection for these businesses, for small businesses. Without that level of protection offered through the innovation patent system, small businesses, which provide substantial employment and potentially turning over millions of dollars annually, may lose all if an unscrupulous business should steal the technology related to commercially relevant innovations before it is protected, fully protected. This government has said that it will stand up and support small businesses. Just like it said it will be building dams. Just 3 days ago it said it would be building dams. Turns out it's two dams with incremental improvements to existing dams. That's it. No vision, no forethought, no rescuing of farmers today, let alone the future. To dump the innovation patent system and erase the advantages of rapid and inexpensive patents is contrary to the interests of Australian small businesses relying on the protection of their innovative technology. And I must say, in my experience, in my reading of history, my reading of technology, innovation comes from the individual. And small businesses rely on the individual, and they create the perfect ground for fertilising of ideas and developing of ideas. This is, in a sense, a trade measure that works contrary to Australian interests. That's what the government is proposing. Why would they do so? Well, perhaps the Prime Minister's admission almost 2 weeks ago, Thursday week ago, leads to the answer. When he talked, in fact, about unaccountable, internationalistic bureaucrats who dictate the globalist agenda. Australia became a signatory to the Lima Declaration, the UN's Lima Declaration in 1975, when Prime Minister Gough Whitlam, the Labor Prime Minister, signed the declaration. That was ratified the following year by the Liberal Prime Minister, Malcolm Fraser. The original signing was at the Second General Conference of the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, held in Lima, Peru. Australia committed there, and by the way, major countries around the world did not commit. But Australia did. We committed to adopting trade measures designed to ensure increased exports from developing countries to developed countries, including to Australia, and to stimulate free trade transfer of our processes, our management, our technology to the third world. And look at what it's done. These measures have been devastating to Australian manufacturing, agriculture, industry generally, and the Australian economy in general. A global approach has not been good for Australian interests when Australian interests must come first. The government's responsibility is to the people of Australia and to the country of Australia. Liberal Premier of Western Australia, Richard Court, in 1994 outlined the way in which our government has been usurped by the United Nations in particular, but other globalist entities. That was 25 years ago. 2 years later, 23 years ago, Senator Pauline Hanson, or the MP Pauline Hanson as she was known at the time, also spoke about the erosion of Australian sovereignty and the decimation of Australian industry due to the UN and other globalist entities. 10 years ago, when I learned about it, I started speaking about it. And we can assure everyday Australians that we will work relentlessly to restore Australian sovereignty. We are far too closely aligned with the UN, whose interests are not aligned with the interests of Australia. We need to restore governance in Australia, working for Australia's interests. And we will continue to work to restore governance in Australia, working for Australia's interests. We need to protect small business intellectual property. The major parties, Liberal and Labor, have let down the Australian public in many ways. This bill, neglecting small business, is just another example of a sellout by the government of the interests of Australians. So I support the amendments as moved by Senator Patrick foreshadows, and he will move, because they will maintain the protections as achieved by the current innovation patent system, and we are opposed to the removal of this innovation patent system. Thank you, Mr. Acting Deputy President.
And we'll be right back with the third hour, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company 3's Aloud with you, Maleficus Sentius and myself, Sean Surplus. More to come. Thank you.
107.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Absolute morality. The absolute morality that a religious person might profess would include what? Stoning people for adultery? Death for apostasy? Punishment for breaking the Sabbath? These are all things which are religiously based absolute moralities. I don't think I want an absolute morality. I think I want a morality that is thought out, reasoned, argued, discussed, and...
WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company, Three's Aloud, with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Hey, I'm looking at the chat room there, Maleficus. JB better not be fucking electing me as fucking fake news. I know where he lives. I'm gonna...
He's right. He's right, you took him out of context. But he said afterwards, he posted a video, he said, look at this. At Maleficus and Sean, but you took and Sean as being your cunt of the week.
I was going to say.
To justify your position, he said, you fake news fuckers, I didn't nominate Sean, but now I do.
I knew there had to be some comedy behind it. I fucking do it. Because I've met JB face to face, and him and I get along quite well. You know, we've had a couple of beefs here and there. As I really have with...
What, were you, Sean? Are you sure?
I know, right? I'm such a gentle person. I mean,
You're so submissive to most people. Yes. I'm amazed that ever happened.
Yeah, same here. Same. Maleficus, I'm glad you know that. You know, it's very hard to show people my heart.
Without ripping theirs out.
I was about to say, without ripping my own out, like fucking look, this is my heart, motherfucker. Always good to hear from the chatters. It's great.
Yeah, we've had a new arrival in the chat room as well, which is Anon 8729. So yeah, nice to see you here, old boy. Milady, as the case may be, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
There goes the old charmer again, you see. But, you
know. Oh, it doesn't take him much. You know, sometimes...
It comes naturally. I'm English. So,
sometimes I should get a bit jealous because he starts talking to Shield Maiden in a certain way and I'm sort of like, And Shield Maiden's like, okay. And she'll like bow and held out her hand and he'll kiss her hand and everyone. And I'm sort of like, what's going on? No, I'm not really.
This is the point where Sean should really be saying in an English accent, you, sir, are a bounder and a cad.
You're about to get a kick in the fucking ass.
Need to work on that English accent, mate. It didn't sound the same as what I said.
No, so. It doesn't. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not do that. Anyway, never mind. Well, moving on. I mean, it's just as bad as my Australian accent, to be fair, mate. So, you know.
Oh, we're as bad as each other. Listen.
Huh? Sorry, I was going to say, listen, that how bloody well timed was that break, mate? You timed that to the letter. That almost sounded planned.
I know. What I do is I keep an eye on my clock. One of the things you learn really quick, as we've discussed in the past, Maleficus, is when you're doing radio, you keep an eye on your clock at all times, and you say, all right, we're going to get away with this by about 4 seconds.
There's not
seconds.
A great connection between us. Are you saying C-L-O-C-K?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's all right then. No, sorry, I misheard. Carry on.
we're about 2 seconds from a cock away. Oh, no. Jesus Christ. No, what happens is I
can
have
you not concentrate on something else, man? We're broadcasting here.
I have a clock in front of me at all times. Jimmy X was the one who educated me on that, in fact. A clock. Clock. C-L-O-C-K. Oh, no. Why couldn't they have made... like a stopwatch or a clock sound like more like the word like vagina. You know, I have like a vagina in front of me I have to keep time with. You had to, that was you. You lowered this, Maleficus, not me. All right.
It's only fair that we take it in turns.
Yeah. What do you call it? Relay. Each week it's a relay. I lower it, then he lowers it. But anyway...
Yeah, and if you lower it more than I do on my week, you're out of order.
Oh, come on. You know, you started it. So what happens is... oh, God. No, so what happens is... No, I always have a clock in front of me. So I understand when the breaks are coming in. And I understand where all my breaks are coming in. I was the one who coded it and scripted it. So Maleficus is... I tell you what, though, Maleficus, you did excellent when you and Giuseppe were had to take over the show because I had to go and check the floods. And I came back and listened to that afterwards. Like, I listened to every show, proof listened to it to make sure there's no errors and stuff like that. You know what I'm like, being an audio engineer.
Yeah.
I listened to it, and you going out to the break and then coming back into the break, I was like, he's a fucking natural-born professional. My God.
Well, what can I say? I learned from the best, you know.
Well, leave Andy Hitchcock
right now,
out
right
of
Right now
this.
I'm polishing my fingernails on my shirt, but actually, you know, it's your show, and I tried to sort of carry it on in the way that you did. So,
you know,
or that you would have done.
I don't think you caught that, though. I don't think you caught that. You said, I learned from the best. I said, you leave Andy Hitchcock out of this, you know?
No, I didn't. you know what? I tell you what, I'm really enjoying my time on with Andy. He's I've listened to his show for since 2017.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, the same time that I've been listening to your show. I've been listening to yours and his show the same amount of time.
Yeah.
It's been a real pleasure to jump on with Andy because it's a very different show, but at the same time, we're covering a lot of similar,
a lot of ground. A lot of ground. Yeah, without a doubt. I don't get to listen to a lot of it, as you know, with the health problems and all of that. And, also, because the daughter and I go out and get water from the stream and, you know, we live a pretty rough life up here. We tend to stay away from the, supermarkets as much as possible. And I hope this helps Shield Maiden because she's been writing a book for, a couple of years now, if I'm not mistaken, Shield Maiden? A couple of years, and about health. And so we tend to try and stay away from the supermarkets wherever we can. So we go out, we go out yonder, and we grab some water and put it up in our 10-litre bottles and put it into our trailer, and off we go. You know, anywhere we can get food or water outside of the supermarket, we will. So, and we're getting a ferret soon, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting another ferret. As you know, when I was up in the wilderness, my ferret went down a burrow and didn't come back up. I had my shovel with me. I tried to dig up the rabbit burrows to find her. She was gone. Sometimes they get bitten by snakes down there. And sometimes the burrows just cave in and kill the ferret, which is really upsetting. Her name was Flo. And I'll probably name the next ferret Flo as well, after her. But Beth said to me, she said, Dad, can we get a ferret? And I said, we can damn right get a ferret, because I spoke to my sister and my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is... And this is all for health reasons, so hear me out. My sister and my brother-in-law know the laws around Australia, and they said, no, it's totally legal now to get a ferret in Victoria. So I was like, oh, right on. And I said, Beth, we can get a ferret. And she's like, yes. And so all we have to do is buy some nets, you know, put the nets down around the burrows, put the ferret down there. The ferret chases the rabbit out, and we've got rabbit stew. So, and then we can do some fishing, everything like that. Start getting our, you know, our own food together and everything like that, rather than going to the supermarket. So, yeah, we're getting back into it. We're getting back into natural living. And I implore all of you to try the same. And I mean, of course, if you're in a city, that probably ain't going to work. Unless you travel to the outskirts, where you can find rabbits, kangaroos, that sort of thing. But, yeah, yep, Beth and I are getting a new ferret. We're going to get some nets, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to rope in the rabbit. Shield Maiden loves the idea, but doesn't like the idea of the wringing of the neck. You know, when the rabbit comes out of into the net, and you've got to go...
Oh, no. Like, mates, just to put your mind at rest, it's really quick.
It is.
I had a friend who was a gamekeeper, and... over here, I don't know whether you have the same thing over there, Sean. You probably do. But DEFRA, we have a company called DEFRA over here, which I can't remember what the actual word... I'll look up the wording in a sec. But DEFRA, the animal people, they go around and they actually put... they spread myxomatosis out to cull the rabbit populations over here.
And that's terrible.
Yeah. It's a dreadful way to die. It just attacks the nervous system, and they go blind, they go deaf, all their eyes swell up and their organs swell up and stuff. And as a kid, you know, I was about 15 years old, and my mate, who was 17 at the time, he was a bit of a reprobate, you know, he dropped out of school early, and what with one thing and another, he got himself into some trouble. So he took up this course, and he went on, he learned how to be a gamekeeper. And we're walking through the village that I grew up in, and there was where I grew up. If anyone wants to look it up, it's a place called Morgan Porth over in Cornwall. There where I grew up, at the bottom of one of the hills is like this big, literally what we would call a hairpin bend. It's almost 180 degree corner on the road, and stood in the middle, and it's on a hill as well, so it's like a really steep thing. And stood right in the middle of the road, or sat right in the middle of the road, was this really young rabbit with all its eyes puffed out and everything. And my mate Jay walked straight up to it, and he said, "Oh, it's got Mixie." I said, "Well, how do you know?" He said, "Well, because its eyes are puffed up and it hasn't moved, and I'm stood right next to it. What do you think's wrong with it?" You know, I didn't know. I was a bit naive, like, you know. And he picked the thing up by its ears. That sounds harsh. He picked it up by its ears, grabbed hold of its back legs, pulled really hard, very, very quickly. And I heard this horrible crunch sound. And almost instantly, that rabbit was dead. And he chucked it in the bushes, and we carried on walking up the hill. And I was a bit disturbed for a good sort of 10, 15 minutes after that. Like, whoa, what the fuck did I just see? I just seen my mate Jay fucking murder a rabbit. Like, but actually, no, he did it a favor. But it was exceptionally quick. I didn't realize life could be snuffed out so quickly, you know? So it literally it was instantaneous. The rabbit didn't even flinch, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, that's the way, you know. I mean, we were doing it as kids. When my brother, you know, my brother-in-law, the gun dealer, and he's a legal gun dealer, not an illegal gun dealer. He's got all of his permits and all of his licenses to be able to sign people up for a gun license and everything like that. When we were boys, he taught us how to wring a rabbit's neck real quick. And it is so quick, the rabbit doesn't even have, like, it when you pick it up through the net, it's of course distressed because it's scared, so it squeals. But when you actually grab it by the neck and go like that, it's done. It instantly dead. It's probably got one second, maybe 1 second to think about it, if that. It's really quick, and it's a survival mechanism for us, because, you know, when you go out, like I was saying to Maiden, Maleficus, when you go out into the wilderness, what are you going to do? Start a garden? Well, it's going to take that garden a hell of a long... Because her and I were talking about the vegans. And I said, what are they going to do as vegans? They're going to go out and start a garden. that's going to take ages to start growing, or are they going to hunt? You know, and at the end of the day, like I always say, the lion is still killing the gazelle. And it takes up to 3 minutes sometimes for the lion to choke the gazelle out. So think about that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, learn how to hunt. Learn how to get meat. It's an instant meal. All you need is something to light a fire, rabbits, and you have got a meal on your plate. It'll keep you alive. Yeah. Now, I want to get to some of these comments, Maleficus, unless you've got any closing thoughts on what we were just talking about.
No. I think, you know, we've digressed a lot this evening, but we have actually have covered quite a lot of poignant ground in some respects, and in other respects it's kind of more anecdotal, but nevertheless.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree.
I don't have anything to add. In short, sorry, I don't have anything to add.
But. Yeah, okay. So what we've got is we've got somebody that commented below our 11th of the 7th, 2021 show, saying, "Hi, Sean, just wanted to clarify that in the US, when you start a business and get a business license to operate, you are literally entering into a contract with the corporation that calls itself government, quote-unquote, where you become a public entity that serves the public. Legally, quote-unquote, you literally cannot refuse entry into your shop to anyone just because you don't want them there." Remember we were talking about, like, it was something along the lines of, what was that one?
Yeah. Oh, yes, no, I do remember, because you were saying, you know, if I owned a shop.
That's right.
You're talking about that, like, that we've had various things over here, like somebody didn't want a cake. Didn't want to make a cake for a gay wedding.
Yeah,
I think that's what you were talking about. Look, over here, I just want to clarify this as well, because I read the chat. Over here, you can't not allow anyone into your shop, but you can refuse to serve anyone.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yep. Okay.
I don't know if it's the same in America.
I'm not even sure if it's the same here. I'm not sure. That's a good point. So you can... You can't refuse them entry, but you can refuse them service.
Yeah, you can refuse to serve them, yeah.
Ah.
I mean, the guy at the local 24-hour garage here, he fucking hates the police. Ever since the first lockdown, and there was one guy coming in, he said, "You know, one of those twats, one of those cunts that you have to work with that you don't like." Mm. He said this copper came in, he was partnered up with this other guy that was bragging to him about how many tickets he'd given out that week for breaking lockdown restrictions, and the copper that was paying for the money, for the fuel at the till, was just like, he had that expression on his face, like, "Why did they fucking stick me with him today?"
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he fucking hates police. And the thing is, he said to me, "I don't have to serve them." He said, "They can come in the shop." He said, "But I don't have to serve them by law. I don't have to serve them. I fucking hate them," like, sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know what the score is with that, but apparently that is the case. It may be down to certain establishments, but I'm pretty sure over here, you are obliged to let people into your shop because it's discriminatory if you don't. But if you can deem a decent reason for not serving them, I'll just say they were abusive. I'll say I didn't like the way they were treating me.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, whatever. You don't have to serve people.
I think that would be similar here. Like, if you actually said, I mean, it would take you to lie. So, for instance, if I didn't want to serve a police officer just because he's a police officer, it would be derogatory. But if I actually said they were treating me badly and that's why I asked them to leave, it would probably be similar. But being a cop, their word sticks compared to ours. So if the cop went out and said, "No, we weren't treating him badly," we'd be in trouble. Let me continue this comment from Johnny
Bean. Yeah, sorry, but I just thought I'd put that in there. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. It's all about conversation. Yeah, I love this. Quote unquote, "Legally, you literally cannot refuse entry into your shop to anyone just because you don't want them there." Now, I don't know where Johnny B is from. I'm pretty sure he's from America. I'm pretty sure because I've read his posts in the past and emails. This is where most people fall down. Just because you think you own, quote unquote, the business and pay for everything in it does not give you any right, quote unquote, to refuse entry in any similar way that continuing to pay taxes, etc., on your home is proof that you don't legally, quote unquote, own that either. Parentheses, parentheses, parentheses.
That definitely sounds like America.
Yeah. You'll probably find it similar in all Western nations where the Kikes believe they rule. Also, would you please provide links to those two videos you played the audio from, one with the shop owners getting arrested and the English chap going off at the end, pure gold. I'd love to check those out and pass on to family and friends. Thanks, mate, Johnny B. Thanks, Johnny B. We love comments. The more comments, the merrier. No, look, great comments. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I haven't checked it out of late when it comes to Australia. I've sort of gotten fed up with Australia, as JB will tell you, and he's also, like, he's a little bit of disappointed with me sometimes because I say, fuck Australia, I no longer want to be here. And I can sort of, I catch his drift on that. But because I'm so disappointed with Australia, I just don't indulge in its politics anymore. You know, what is law, what is constitution or anything. I've done it for years. I'm 46 now. I'm not getting any fucking younger. I spend more time with, like, my daughter and I spend more time walking out into the wilderness and out in the rail trail than what we ever have before, because, you know, I have spent the years. You know, like, I was 17 when I got into this. So I don't know.
I get what JB's saying, though, mate, because at the end of the day, this is what I said to you a little while back as well, that you were talking about your shack in the woods or your log cabin in the woods, you know, away from everything on a little island. You know, if you leave, and I'm not saying that you're the be-all and end-all, don't let your head swell, but what I'm saying is, if you leave, there's another person gone that could have helped the I know where JB's coming from. You know, there's another person gone, and there's another person jumped ship that could have helped steer the ship.
You know? Yeah, I understand it. I do. And there's even there's a shallow part of me in the back of my mind that says, all right, don't do this, you know. But remember, you know, I've got a fiance now, and it'd be easier for me to go over there and have freedom of speech through the First Amendment, the right to bear arms through the Second Amendment. We don't have all of that. Remember, the right to we have the right to a gun license, depending on what grade you're going for and why, but we don't have the right to bear arms to defend ourselves, which is over in the States we do. So
yeah,
I'm
not being funny, mate. This is, you know, these rights, and listen, any Americans listening, I'm sorry if you get offended by this, but these rights that you think you have are subject to be taken away by the powers that be unless you actually do something about it. You know, Sean, you are looking at the moment of moving over to America, and you're going to have fucking Joe Biden smashing an axe through your door. Here comes Johnny. Have you had your, you know, the thing, the jab? You know, it's look, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But you know how much they are trying to erode free speech in America. You know how much they are trying to erode the gun laws in America. You know, we have done broadcasts on, you know, involving those subjects, and you have done many broadcasts involving the gun law subjects, you know, the right to bear arms against tyrannical government. You know, it's down to the American people to actually stand up and keep that. But, you know, it's like over here, and it's like everywhere at the moment, unless the people stand up. You know, like all this fucking vaccine passport bullshit coming in.
But that's a big part of what I'm talking about, Maleficus.
I didn't mean to talk.
I love hearing what you've got to say. That's you know, that's what I'm talking about. We're done over here, which is the United States. They're 350 million strong. And it only took, like I keep saying, 2 to 3% of that 300, well, it was back 300 million back then, to take their government back to, you know, being a proper government. You know, take rule over the revolution. So, you know, here in Australia, we're only 24 million strong, maybe, you know, maybe even 30 million strong now. I don't know. Again, I just don't look into it anymore. Like, and we've got no chance. And when you take a look at the morons, you walk through Melbourne and Sydney and you see all of these mask wearing fucking idiots. And then you come to a place where you think, oh, there's only around 12,000 people in my hometown. Oh, well, but they're all wearing masks as well. We're doomed. You know, I mean, this is why I would rather defend a country that has a Second Amendment and a First Amendment, you know, and a Third and a Fourth and a Fifth. And where you can actually plead the Fifth, you know, I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that I may incriminate myself. We have none of that here. We have three parts of a constitution. We have the monarchy, we have the Commonwealth, and we have the Australian part of the constitution. And a lot of people get it confused. Oh, the monarchy and the Commonwealth are the same thing. No, they're fucking not. No, when you read the constitution, you see the difference between the Commonwealth and the monarchy, and then you see a huge difference between the Australian constitution. And every one of these parts of the constitution have fucked us in the ass. Fucked us in the ass. So when I look at how simple the amendments get over there in the States, where freedom of speech is a part of the Constitution. It's the First Amendment. The Second Amendment is the right to bear arms. And the Fifth Amendment, which is one of the most important that people seem to ignore, which is I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that I may incriminate myself. You know, you plead the Fifth. Like all of these things, there's something we don't have in Australia. Is Australia here's the big question to JB. Is Australia any longer worth fighting for when we have been so fucked in the ass and so molested? When we could go to somewhere like America where there's white Western European descendants that are living there that we should be defending instead with their amendments and everything like that? I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I wait with bated breath to hear JB's or see JB's response in the chat room. Look, going back to, and this is you've touched on a subject that I was actually talking to Wynne Miller about earlier in the day today, and that is the reasons that the guns were stripped from the British people. We had incident after incident over here in order to enforce it, but I'm about to post in the TCTA chat and go or chatango.com chat room a series of interviews that can be found on YouTube still, surprisingly, with a woman called Sandra Utley, who wrote the book Dunblane Unburied. Now, the Dunblane Massacre.
Dunblane Massacre, yeah.
Well, it's similar to your Port Arthur Massacre. So it was a staged event set up in order to put this legislation into place, and because it was one of the world firsts in school shootings. I'll post the info in the chat room, and if you like, you can put it under the post for the show as well, Sean. But I'll post the info in the chat room. And it's an interview with a lady called Sandra Utley, who was actually a member of the paramedic teams who were second on the scene. They relieved the first people, who obviously were in fucking bits, having just seen a class load of 5-year-old gym students been shot up, you know. And that, I don't doubt, is true. I don't doubt that is true, that actually happened. What I do doubt is the narrative that surrounds it. And get this, right? after World War II, we had a 50-year block put on a freedom of, like, no freedom of information, yada, 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 Official Secrets Act for 50 years, some of the things that we got up to during World War II. And after 50 years, they were up for review. Some of them got extended to 75, and I dare say they'll get extended further. But from the get-go, from the word go, from the moment this came out, this Dunblane massacre, all the information on it was given a 100-year block. Okay, so the information's there up in the chat room for anyone to go and have a look at, and obviously I'll get Sean to post it under the show notes as well. I'll mail it to you properly, Sean, so that you've not got broken text like has come up in the chat room. It should all still work, but yeah, that's why we're not allowed to bear arms over in the UK. That was one of the starting blocks for these people.
Yeah, very similar.
Orchestrated.
Yeah, very similar to the Port Arthur massacre. Almost identical, in fact. I want to get to something that Scully said in the comments area of our show, Maleficus. He said, "You own your own house." We were talking about, you know, how we own our own house and not the land and stuff like that. He said, "You own your house, but you do not own the land that your house is on. If you can transport the whole bricks and foundation, then good on you. But the very physical space your house occupies is owned by the gub, meaning the government, which is why they can make a compulsory purchase of they want to plow a motorway through it." And this is what I was talking about earlier. What's that term? Did anyone come up in the chat room with the term where they can, like, start just plowing up your backyard to put power points through there, like power
poles? Oh, God, now you're asking me to scroll back. We've got Nick Donan in here as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's been various chats going on. I'm not going to be able to get to it instantly.
No. I'm asking anybody in the chat room. But let's have a look at the... Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Sorry, Maleficus, yeah. just caught on to what you meant. I've shut down the brakes just for a brief moment because I really want to get to these comments. I really appreciate the comments that come in on the website. Scully goes on to say, "We own the bricks and mortar, but not the land underneath it, which is why the debate keeps going and why we still are compelled to pay taxes. Even if we have outright bought the property, you never can buy the land you walk upon." He or she says, the reason that if you could buy the land and be the sole monarch, then you would be effectively, your own country. Now, I want to get to this in a moment. This is why I wanted to read these comments. "I have had this raised before about ownership of land, and the most free, quote-unquote, you can ever get is freehold, but you do not own the land outright, or that would might make you a monarch. All land is under various tenure titles that are allowed that the government own supremely. It is that fucked up, people." Now, what I wrote back, and I really want to get to this, is, yeah, but in saying that, Scully, if we can ever own the land we walk on, then by rights, they can't tax us for it, because that would mean they think they own the land we walk on. "I make no contracts with the law nor government any longer. I haven't for years. Just because I sign a piece of paper for whatever reason, perhaps a reason to get by, does not mean I am contracted with them. As far as I am concerned, that is a monopoly game. That contract, including spending money, is just a child's game. A true contract is an agreement between one man to another, and it's sealed with a firm handshake as you look each other in the eye. If a man says, 'Sign here for your land,' I laugh at him and say, 'Stick your fucking taxes up your ass, cunt.' But if he says, 'This land is now yours,' as he shakes my hand and looks me in the eye, I look right back at him and say, 'I will hold you to that.' And if there is ever any mention on tax or tariff, I will shoot you where you stand and sleep well that night." Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I want to talk about the Principality of Hutt River. The Principality of Hutt...
Before you do, just very quickly, eminent domain.
That's it. Eminent domain. Yep. That's it. Thank you.
He took a breath, JB. He took a breath.
Me? Never. All right.
So... Get you on the coffee. It's almost like you've got a... You're circular breathing from an oxygen tank.
You fucking know it, brother. All right. Yeah, so... The Principality of Hutt River was a... You're talking, Scully, you're talking about micronations. There are micronations here in Australia. Now, I don't know what's happened with the Principality of Hutt River because the prince that founded it has since passed. So I'm not sure what's going on with it. I haven't looked into it. But it says from the Michael Wiki, the Principality of Hutt River, often referred to by its former name Hutt River Province Principality, was an Australian micronation occulated on a large farming property several hundred kilometres north of Perth. Hutt River was founded on 21 April 1970 by farmer Leonard George Casely. Prince Leonard, they called him. Prince Leonard I, rather. When he and his associates proclaimed their secession from the state Western Australia, despite lacking official recognition from Australia and other sovereign states, the province claims that its independence has been acknowledged in several documents originating in the Australian government. On February 2017, at the age 91 and after ruling 45 years, Prince Leonard won... abdicated the throne in favour of his young son, Graham, Prince Graham I. Prince Leonard died on 13th of the February 2019. On 3 August 2025, the Principality of Hutt River rejoined Australia, which is a real shame. What he did is he found a loophole when it comes to farming properties. Maleficus, and of course Scully and anybody else who's interested, and he even had his own coins minted. He even minted his own coins. Wow. He had his own micronation. There were three micronations, one in Sydney, one in Melbourne, and one in Perth, and the Australian government couldn't touch it. They had their own laws, but they did close that loophole. Just to let you know, they've closed the loophole so nobody else can make a micronation. But they...
Well, so what we're talking about recently with the whole common law thing and sovereignty, like individual sovereignty, are you saying that that's no longer that's a no-go now in Australia?
You know what? This is how I look at it, Maleficus. And I don't know whether you'll agree, but I don't go by any contracts made. So, for instance, if... somebody sends me a fine, as Breitzer puts it, and Graham Hart...
Yeah, so that's... You're talking common law there.
That's right. So what I do is I basically say, return to sender, all rights reserved. And I leave it that way. But you know what? Even without the micronation, you can get away with this because they really... All rights are reserved. All human rights are reserved. They can't fucking do shit to you. You came out of the womb... You know, with a penis, a belly button, eyes, nose, ears, everything like that. All rights reserved. I have all rights to use my ears, my nose, my belly button, my penis for whatever I want to use it for, right? Meaning, obviously, within nature's call. You know,
I'm glad you clarified that, old boy.
Yeah,
I was about to pick you up on that.
I wish you'd stop saying "oh, old boy." I'll tell you why. It's because here in Australia, if you flop out the "old fella," that's your penis. So every time you say "old boy," I'm like, "Oh my god!" He's calling me an old dick.
Yeah, of course, it's done intentionally.
You know, but no. Getting back to seriousness here, I look at it this way. If I look a man, if you and I were to meet Maleficus and you said, Sean, do you want to buy this land? Do you have the money for this land? Is there a way you can get the money for this land? Then I look you in the eye and I shake your hand firmly and say, yes, sir. That's a contract to me. That's a gentleman's contract. But when it comes to signing a piece of fucking government paper, I mean, we're talking about governments that are so corrupt, Marxist and communist, really? It means nothing to me. Absolutely
mate,
nothing.
Mate, I think the word you're actually looking for is that is actually an agreement, which is wholly different to a contract.
It's a mega agreement, and I think that an agreement is more powerful than a contract.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. A contract is a legal document.
Yep.
Whereas an agreement is an understanding between two souls.
That's right. Exactly. Maleficus, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, even though I didn't have them. But, you know, the principality of Hutt River, he proved beyond doubt that you can have your own micronation within Australia and say, get the fuck out of here. You cops come around here. No, 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 no. This is my fucking micronation. This is my country within a country. Fuck off, you know. And
well, look, I know people that are trying to do that locally to me. I know people that are starting to get very well versed on common law. But do you know what? This is my opinion on this, and I think they're right to do so and do not subscribe, etc., etc. But these people that consider themselves, these wishful thinkers that consider themselves at the top of the food chain, what they're actually going to do is just use government foot soldiers, i.e. the military or the police, and they will just crush these people for whatever reason they deem fit at the time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree. You've got to be careful of all of this. See, it takes a lot to find a so-called loophole, but it doesn't take a lot to just look at government and say, fuck you. Fuck you, I'm not wearing
a
mask.
No, I get you.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that as well, completely. And I think this is what all of us have to do. And I want to reiterate it again. All of us have to go back to our local communities and start conversing with them and trying to get people that actually live around you on board with your ideas and making people see sense. Because we're all fucked if we don't do that. You know,
and
this is why I brought up. This is why I laboured the point that JB had made about you going to another nation and setting up camp, whatever. Yeah, it'll be great for that nation. And yes, if everyone of our creed and heritage go to one nation to do it and kick out all the other people that aren't there to do with that nation, please look up the dictionary definition of nation, people.
Yeah,
great. If we all go there and do it, fine. But everything's so schismed now. Everything's so divided. Everything's so fucking diversified.
Well, question to you, Maleficus, if I
okay.
may.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Fuck, wow, this doesn't often happen. You got a question for me?
Fuck off. Yeah.
I'm only taking the piss, you know it.
A question for you is, what do you expect of me? And I'm saying this in a serious measure, not as in, like, aggressive.
Yeah.
What do you expect of me? I mean, I've always had the belief system. Okay, sure, there's that element where I want to leave Australia because it's such shit now and there's so many shit people that I don't think it's going to come back. I don't think Australia's going to come back. But let's put that aside for a sec. What do you expect of me? Do you expect me... As I was saying, I've always had the belief, because my pa taught me well, I never had a father, but my pa taught me well when he said, you always go out of your way for your lady. She doesn't go out of her way for you. So for me, it's only right that I move to America to marry Shield Maiden rather than her have to do all the work to come over here. That's my question. Where do you think I should stand there? Given
no,
that
actually, actually that's an interesting curveball you've thrown in there.
Mm.
You know, because normally, realistically, if it wasn't for the current day and age, and don't get me wrong, we're able to get a message out across. We're able to sit around the campfire with people from around the world, which I'm blessed for. Every week.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the modern day society, you know, if it wasn't for the modern day technology, So, what should you do? Well, of course, you shouldn't put you shouldn't have to uproot maids from her environment and her place. I get that, and that's it's an interesting curveball. But it's only been brought about by modern day society. That's another another sort of nuance of it. But really, I suppose, yeah, we've got to take that into consideration. But I do think that, you know, the context you put it in was simply, I've had enough of these idiots. They're not doing me any good, and I've tried to help them. I'm going to turn my back on them. That was the curveball that you've thrown in now throws that in a different light.
Well, can I add something else too? It's that.
Yeah, sure. No, sure.
Yeah. What I'd like to add is this. My Australian friends, I've had little of, and the ones I did not help me. They called me a kook. They treated me like shit throughout most of my life. And so I look at it this way. If the Americans that I've been working with and the Americans that I have met and spent so many years with online, and but also gone over there and spent time with them, why shouldn't I fight? Go over there and fight for them more so for the people? Like, okay, we've got JB here. We've got Jacko. We've got people that...
JB's just put an interesting comment up in the chat room, which I think you should read and respond to.
Okay. I'll just bring that up. Just to finish up my comment before we get to the end of the show, because we only got 15 minutes, not even. You know, why should I be protecting people that called me a kook and treated me like shit and everything like that when all of the people that I've worked with over in the States, including that I've met firsthand, you know, I mean, I've traveled so many of the different states and met so many people, and they've looked after me in a way that my fellow Aussies never did, that my own family never did. You know, like my sisters, my brother, all of those, they never looked after me. Like when I went across to America, these people housed me. They even clothed me. Jimmy's wife bought me some socks. You know what I'm saying? Like, she saw that I only had a couple of pairs of socks, and I said, oh, can I wash my socks, rubber on? And she said, I've bought you some new ones. And she bought me, like, you know, half a dozen socks.
And well, I don't blame her. I wouldn't have your fucking two-day-old, three-day-old stinky socks in my fucking sink. Fucking hell. Two pairs of socks, you skank.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, it was pretty bad, actually. But the thing is, it wasn't really.
Sean, just throw them away. I bought you some new socks. I'm totally on with Jimmy's wife there, mate.
Get rid of those skunky socks, Sean. Yeah, but why would I look after my countrymen when they didn't look after me, and to this day they don't? You know, I mean, we get some Australian listeners that actually write and say via email, like Beth has seen some of the emails and everything like that and said, God, Dad, you know, there's a lot of emails. You know, I showed Shield Maiden how many emails there were, but I didn't actually, through screen sharing, but I didn't actually show her the content of them because that wouldn't be right, that these people haven't given me permission. But even she saw how many emails I get. So I get a lot of emails from Australians, Americans, everything like that, but nowhere near as much as the Americans. They've looked after me. They've housed me. They've treated me with respect. You know, so it's very hard for me to stand by, you know, these people over in Australia that have treated me like crap, right, where I've had to punch some of them. And then, you know, compared to those that have just been like, Sean, welcome to America. Oh, come in. You know, you can stay here for as long as you want, sort of thing.
Okay, so you can take this as me poking you with a stick, but really it's not. It's JB poking you with a stick. And this was the comment. The comment in the chat room was, lol, as in laugh out loud. The woman follows her man, not the man follows the woman.
Oh, whatever, JB, you pussy.
I thought you'd like that one.
You pussy. You know, one of the things I said to my ex's father, I said to him, I said, you know what? He said, did you really ride from all the way from Albury to Melbourne? And I went, yeah, it's around 400 kilometres, I think. And he goes, you rode all the way that way for my daughter? And I went, yeah. And he goes, oh my God. He goes, you know, Sean, he goes, I used to ride every day to go and see my wife before she was my wife. And it was like, I think it was something like 100 kilometres or something like that. Every day he would ride there and he would ride back. That's what you do to court a woman. That's what you do to court a lady. So he was just like astounded that somebody like that still existed. And I look to it to this day. I have to travel for Shield Maiden. She shouldn't have to travel for me. So there's, I guess you could say what you call the curveball that way, but yeah. There's also that curveball where...
It's only a curveball because of the scenario beforehand. It's not, you know.
Right,
what I mean.
Yeah. I know, I still hold on to those traditions. I think that the man should have to travel for the woman. And even Beth is saying...
Well, yeah, but then at the same time, Sean, there's no reason why you couldn't pay for the woman to travel... to you. One of the things that JB's brought up, sorry to be the voice of JB on the radio, but you know he's not brave enough to Skype you himself, so I mean obviously we'll have
you,
me do.
You're touching on a hard you're touching on a hard note there, because I made the mistake of accusing him of being a pussy for not coming on Skype, but it did actually turn out that his Skype just doesn't work for him for some reason. So
yeah,
it's
fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Shut me down, Oy vey, JB. It's fine. He knows I'm just jesting. Well, hopefully he knows I'm just jesting anyway.
Yeah.
He did say America has 260 million odd. Australia has 26 million. There's a lot more space for you guys to disappear in Australia and do your own thing and get your log cabin if needs be.
No, you'd be surprised.
You know, I'm just chewing the cud with you. I'm not, you know, JB brings up some valid points.
Yeah, no. There's actually a lot more. There's around 350 million plus people in the States now. And we're about 25, 26 million.
Yeah, but they've
like
all
that.
Got guns, JB. JB, they've all got guns.
Yeah, they do. And not just that. You'd be surprised how much land there is over in the States, even though there's so many people, JB. When Jimmy and I were traveling from Buffalo to Syracuse, there was so much green land and sunny land. It was just beautiful. And there was a bowling alley that we were repairing. I did the script and the code for a floppy disk. And he did, he was teaching me some of the mechanics when it comes to the solenoid and everything like that, when it comes to the bowling alley. And in that whole area, it was just all bare. It, for miles and miles to see, it was sort of like parts of Canada that can't be populated, but it was green, it was gorgeous, and the land was buyable. So even though they've got a lot of people, there's the outskirts of America that is just not taken up. It's bare. It's bare to see, bare for the eye to see. Unbelievable. Just restaurant built onto a bowling alley. They fed us and everything like that. They gave us free beer the whole lot because we were working on the bowling alley. And then I went for a walk. I said, Jimmy, I'm going for a walk now. I want to see this area. It's gorgeous. He goes, isn't it gorgeous? I said, yeah. So I went for a walk and I was like, holy crap. There's all this land for miles and miles to see. You could easily build a hut here or a house here or whatever. Like, and this is jotted out everywhere. Like I said, in between Buffalo and Syracuse, it's all bare. There's no housing at all. A lot of fucking cops on the road, but it's all bare. There is so much land to be had still in the United States. Most of the 350 million people live in the cities. They don't.
Not anymore, mate. Fucking Jill Bates, Jill Master Bates. Sorry, Bill Gates is buying all up. <isn't he?
laughs> Jill Master Bates. Yeah. Right? I remember the
Jill
time.
Bates.
I
Mr. Bates.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Mr. Bates. I remember when Jimmy used to talk about the Mon Pubis when it comes to Obama's missus. Oh, look at that Mom pubis.
I've heard him say that as well. Well, how do you explain that bulge? I mean, I'm not being funny.
That was huge.
Never shaved ever.
It was huge. It's bigger than most men's penises. This thing was like a Krakatoa. Well,
speak for yourself, old boy.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about me. I was talking about you. So this thing was Krakatoa. It was huge. It was like a volcano about to erupt.
Krakatoa.
Did you know that Krakatoa when it erupted, it echoed 7 times around the world? Look it up.
I heard that. I've heard that. I don't know whether that's just Jewish bullshit, but it's possible.
Well, they say that the whole world heard it, whether they did or not. I don't know. I don't remember it. It was like before
my time.
It
sounds very, oy vey, I climbed over an electric fence.
Oh, I'll tell you, now that we're coming to the end of the show, I'll give you, because we always like to take it out where people can smile. When I was a boy, I was told, no.
It's they always smile when you take it out, old boy.
Now you lowered it even further.
Yeah, it's my week.
We're bidding, ladies and gentlemen. We're bidding. We're in an auction. So what happens is everyone said, you know, in my school, I was in a school of 14 kids. It was just like this little Cub Scout hall. It was only 14 of us. And one of the kids says, come out, and he says, no, it's not true that if you pee on an electric fence, you get shocked. And I thought, oh, okay. So what do? I flopped the young fella out at the time, because I was only 7. And I flopped the young fella out, and I start peeing on the electric fence. It's bullshit. It does shock you. It goes straight to your balls, and you don't recover any time quick. You fall to the ground, and you go, oh! Like, as a kid... That is devastating. It's absolutely terrifying. You're damn right it goes through your balls. Oh, you lying little shits. I'll never forget it. Never forget it, Maleficus. God.
Oh, man.
Yep.
There was one thing I really wanted to bring up on this broadcast, which I forgot to bring up. And it's the only reason it's not important to me so much, but it's because it's close to home for you. And that is, there was a beauty therapist refuses to treat anyone who has had the COVID-19 vaccine. Her name's Sarah McCutcheon, and she is in Australia. So, sorry, I'll plant the link in the chat room, just because I wanted to bring that up, because you're an Aussie, obviously.
No, by all means, bring that up, and I'll post it in the after the chat notes. Usually what I do these days is start putting the chat notes up whilst we're on air, like during the breaks. I didn't do it this time. I've been in and out watching over the floods because it's been raining all night and the creek has come up exponentially, which always worries you because before you know it, it's in your back door. So I've been in and out and I haven't been doing the show notes. So it might take me a bit longer to get the show up on the website. It might take, like, it might be in the next 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes.
Oh, mate. JB said, damn, Mal, you heard Krakatoa? I said, yeah, it was still echoing in 1976.
that was actually when Shield Maiden farted. She just doesn't know it yet. Ooh, I'm going to cop it for that one. I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
You've got to give them a poke in the ribs once in a while, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have them cut off when you finally fucking meet up.
You know it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Two's Company, Three's Aloud. Maleficus Sentius with you as always each week. He also does the Limeys over there on Andy Carrington Hitchcock. .com, so check that out by all means. He's filling in for the good Paul English. Paul has been
filling
busy.
In? No, I've usurped him. I've taken his place.
You usurped him, you bastard! God, instead of Barry the Usurper.
Lots of love, people. Thanks for listening, eh?
Instead of Barry the Usurper, we're going to have to call him Mally the Usurper. Jesus. All right, we'll see you again next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Mally's pet.
Take care, my white brothers and sisters in arms. Bye-bye now. FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York. John Laws, a bloke that sits in his ivory tower with his golden microphone, left untouched by the actual world. You see, we're real people, Lawsy. You're just a fake piece of shit. You know, you tell people that it's unfounded about what we say about the Aboriginals, among other stuff, mind you, especially when it comes to the youth. Unfounded, you say. Yeah, how about I pay your rent for 6 months to go and live in a place that we call Vegemite Valley? Or how about I pay for 6 months worth of your rent to go and live in a place called Wilcannia or certain parts of Alice Springs and then come back and tell us what we're saying is unfucking founded, you low-life piece of shit.